It's time for LVC Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. Today's game is brought to you by Lebanon Valley College. Now let's take it out to the game with John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. Good afternoon from Anvil, Pennsylvania. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, LVC Football, 1-3 for the Flying Dutchman on the season, and Delaware Valley 3-1. A little rainy here in Anvil, but we will be playing football. When we come back, we'll talk to Joe Beeler, head coach for LVC, when we return in 60 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club. Back on the free game show, John Wills back with Joe Beeler, head coach for LVC. Coach, tough one to swallow last week. You guys were in that game, but just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, we had opportunities to win the football game, and that's the frustrating part. As you go back and you look at the tape and you see some things both offensively and defensively that if we just make the play, it's a different outcome.
When you look at last week's game and the fact that you're now at the midway point of the season, what areas are you still very concerned about?
Well, we definitely need to throw the ball better and more consistently. That's been an issue for us really through camp, and that's all three phases. That's not just on the quarterback. That's the receivers running the right routes, getting open, our offensive line in pass pro, our running backs being able to assist in that pass pro, and there have been breakdowns in all three phases that have kept us from the consistency we're looking for.
Senior year for Brendan Irving, when you look at what is expected out of him and what he brings to the table, do you think a lot of teams are keying on him that's not kind of letting him break out yet this season?
Well, I think people are keying on us running the football, I think more so than the fact that it's him versus someone else. But at the same time, he's been nagged by an injury, I think he's getting close to back to 100% again, but he's played the last couple games really on guts. And so I think what you saw early in the scrimmage where he was able to break away and make some big plays, he hasn't had that the last couple weeks, but it's coming. We've got time yet.
A lot of fans, even us media, noticing some bad calls, what we perceive are bad calls last week. As a coach, how do you handle that? How much does that eat into your skin when you have that go against you?
Probably more later than during it. You're going to face adversity every game, and so you got to fight through that adversity, and it might be a great play by the other team, or it might be a call that goes against you. But during the game, you can't. If you worry about the last call, then you're not focused on what's happening right now. So we have time after the game to sit and look at the film and be upset about it. But during the game, it's play football.
All right, playing football this week. One of the toughest competitors year in and year out in Delaware Valley. Not a lot of success for LVC against this team in the past dozen years. How do you approach this one just like every other game?
Well, it's a great opportunity for us. We know they've been on the top of the heap for a number of years now, and so when you get a chance to, the only one way to climb up on the top of the heap, and that's to beat the guy that's on top of you. So we look at it that way, although I don't get too caught up in what happened years in the past. I'm not so sure that when they beat us in 2004, it's going to affect how we play in 2016. So this is the 2016 football team, and I think we're ready to play Del Valle.
Wet conditions out there, could be pouring at times, just wet. Do you like that added to today's game with the team that you're playing?
I think the weather definitely plays in our favor, I would say, for sure, with the bad weather. In the olden days with the grass field, I would say more so. I mean, now with the turf, it doesn't really affect your footing like it did, but it can affect the football, and it's definitely tougher to throw a wet football, so it fits our style.
Good luck today.
Thank you very much.
Joe Bailey, head coach for LVC, back after this on the LVC Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Welcome back to Anvil. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser. No rain right now here in Anvil, but a chilly, wet, soggy afternoon. But, you know, we asked Joe Beeler in the pregame show. He kind of thinks that conditions like this play in favor of LVC a little bit.
They always play in favor of a running game because you could have the ball be a little bit slick, tough to throw, depending on the quarterbacks and how comfortable they are. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the conditions play into this game at all unless it starts to rain. I think these are two teams that they know what they want to do at this point, and each one of them is coming off of a very, very tough loss from a week ago for LVC. They went up to Kings. We know about the call at the end of the game, but there were chances throughout that entire game to do something else, and they end up falling just short by a score of 21-17. Delaware Valley had the same situation. This is the team a week ago, nationally ranked 13 in the country at that point. They gave up a kick return for a touchdown to start the game, and then with less than 10 seconds left to go, they give up a 14-yard touchdown pass to lose the game 20-17 to Albright, a team that was desperate to win that game. You know, if you're LVC at this point, that you have not had great success recently in this series. Last five games, four of them have gone the way of the Aggies. LVC last winning back in 2013. When they won in overtime down at Delaware Valley, won a tremendous game, and even that game was hard to put away. So it's going to be a very difficult game for LVC. You know that the Delaware Valley team you're going to see here this afternoon is one that will be focused and fired up because they understand at this point they need a win here to get right back and make sure that they're a factor in the MAC championship race.
John Jones still out with a toe injury. He sat out last week's game. We saw a little bit of action last week from Steve Salerno, the sophomore tailback. But with a running game today, Brian, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if we see that mixture of three or four different running backs back there being used, or will they put a little more focus on Brendan Urbick?
I don't care who they put back there. The play calling has to be better. I went back and looked. And I said last week during our broadcast I was going to go do this, and I threatened to do it. I did. I went back, and I went back and looked over the game play-by-play of every single LVC game this season, all four of them. And I took out two-minute drills because those are a different sort of a situation. And there were about 104 drives total. 85% of those drives, LVC runs the football on first down. There's got to be a better balance than that, because that's why teams are keying on the run. And it does not matter if Brendan Irving's back there, if you've got Ryan Fink back there, Steve Salerno, if you've got two fullbacks back there. It doesn't matter if you are that predictable. The other team can stack the line of scrimmage. It's very difficult for an offensive line to be able to block nine guys in the box. You have to loosen teams up. The last couple weeks, LVC has gotten actually even worse in terms of that, where 44 out of 50 drives that they have run the last 2 weeks have begun with a running play. And the times that they've thrown the football and allowed Tim Peroni to throw, he's been 4 for 6. They haven't been deep throws, but at least it's been something where he has been able to take advantage of that. This is a game and a time, especially with at this point, you're looking at 1-3. You need something to change the season around. This is the time that you need to be a little bit more in terms of, I don't want to say creative, but daring in terms of what you're going to do against a team that's more highly regarded, at least in standings.
But the coaching staff all but admits they don't have that full confidence yet in the passing game. Peroni's only thrown 4 interceptions in these first four games, I'm sorry.
On 69 passes.
And right.
I mean, we do understand that this is definitely a passing game in progress. The problem is, this is a guy who started for you a year ago. And you had confidence in him at the end of last year, and all of a sudden you don't have confidence in him this year. And if you don't, where is somebody that you do? And that person isn't on the roster, apparently, at this point. So if Tim Peroni is the guy you're going to go with, at some point, whether you have complete trust or not, you have to show him, at least symbolically, we have trust in you, and maybe you'll see his game elevate. They have not done that yet. And I think that's going to be very important when they finally allow Tim Peroni to have their trust in terms of what they do play calling wise. I think that's the time when you may see Peroni break out. I don't think until then it's very possible for him to break out unless he's running the football.
Today is also the annual Coach to Cure MD game, part of a national effort to defeat Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And we've featured this many times in the past several years. So they'll have some fundraising going on in the stands. The cheerleaders will hold up signs and text out numbers. We'll try to pass that along at some point for those of you who listen or watch on LVC TV for this game to donate to today's national effort for muscular dystrophy.
Hey, one other thing, too, though, John, about LVC. We talked about the offensive side of the ball. But last week, the defensive side of the ball, in the first half of that game with Kings, they were just getting eaten up. They made adjustments, but one of the things they needed to do was they needed to find some playmakers. And all of a sudden, we're seeing some different guys in the starting lineup. Guy Zimmerman, Wyatt McLeod, you're starting defensive ends this week. Trent Donlin, starting defensive tackle. Alex Trujillo moves to the inside linebacker position, and Tom Gallagher moves to more of the outside backer position. Those are some differences that they've made in the front seven for this LVC team, because they feel that they need a different look up front. They need different guys, and guys who are going to step up and make plays defensively. In the second half of the game last week, we started seeing that, and we need to continue seeing that against a very good offense in Delaware Valley. Deshaun Darden is no joke. He is a sophomore. He is a dual threat, and they have a lot of different weapons he can get the ball to.
59 degrees, no rain right now, but we see it on the radar all around us. When we come back, it's kickoff. LVC in Delaware Valley, back in 60 seconds, and legal identification here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu. And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone. Anvil, Pennsylvania, set of today's Division III college football game as Lebanon Valley College entertains Delaware Valley. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser, studio producer Lydia Hirsch, and Gary Groover. Glad to have you all on the 91.1 FM, 1510 AM on WMSSFM.com. And you can watch the game as well from LVC TV on GoDutchman.com.
Delaware Valley comes into this game 3-1. They were ranked number 13 in the country going into last week. Got knocked off by Albright. So now this is a team that is reeling from that, and they know that they need a win here against LVC to get back into things. LVC comes in 1-3 overall, 1-2 in the MAC conference. The team that at home wants to right the ship. Here's the plus side. LVC 0-3 on the road. They're 1-0 at home, and a chance to try to protect the home field today against the Aggies.
Back to receive, Tyler Bing. Also looks like Eric Shorter.
And Shorter already has a kickoff return for a touchdown earlier this year against Misericordia, so keep an eye on him. Nick Bentz can be a weapon here.
Well, make it actually Sammy Moore with Eric Shorter back there. Bentz will boot this one all the way to the 3-yard line. And Moore's going to take it there up to the 15, to the 20, to the 22, and then gets knocked backwards and tackled around the 22, 23-yard line. So Sammy Moore with about a 20-yard return for Delaware Valley.
Here's your Delaware Valley offense with Deshaun Darden, the sophomore quarterback. He's got senior Robert Cleveland and Jarrett Reinhardt, also senior in the backfield at tailback and fullback respectively. You'll see a lot of different guys touch the ball, though. Eric Shorter is a sophomore wide receiver. Tyler Bing is a senior wide receiver. They get the starts, but you'll see many different guys there. Theodore Anya, the Little U's junior tight end. Jordan Jimenez, Tom McLowan, Tyler Sylvester, John Walsh, and Luke Boonstra, a pretty young offensive line with Boonstra, the only senior.
Darden's going to hand it off right up the middle and tripped up right near the line of scrimmage is Ellis, but he's still able to lunge forward for a gain of two more.
And Devontae Ellis is the other guy who gets carries in the backfield for the most part with Robert Cleveland. So Ellis, the 6'1 junior, 215-pounder, he's the bigger, more bruising back in the backfield, comes in averaging 4 yards per carry and 4 touchdowns in his attempts this season.
It's time Ellis under center. He'll go to the tailback, and outside goes Ellis. Has the first down across the 35, all the way up to the 39-yard line. It's a gain of 12.
Now you've got some new ends in Wyatt McLeod, the freshman on one side, Guy Zimmerman, the junior on the other side. Very important for them to get a quick start. And on that play, they got too far in. Zimmerman did on the near side. Austin McGuire, Trent Donlin, a couple of sophomores. So it's a very young defensive front. In fact, we'll take a look at the rest of the defense in just a second.
I heard all that. Make that a gain of 15. Shotgun here for Darden. Man to his left. He'll hand it off up the middle. Cleveland gets stacked up near the line. Spun down. No gain.
Here's the rest of the starting defense. 3 juniors at linebacker. Tommy Garner, Tom Gallagher, Alex Trujillo. Trujillo, his first start of the season. Nick Tucker, a junior. Spencer Moser, a junior at the corners. Brendan Yetter, the freshman at free safety. And Kyle Murray, the only senior starter this week on the defensive side. In fact, the only other senior on the 2-deep for LVC defensively this week is Jermaine McQueen, the backup defensive end.
Darden in a shotgun. He's got a wing to the left and a slot to the right side on 2nd and 9 from the 41. Man in motion is Ellis, and Darden will try to run it up the middle. Just gets back to the line of scrimmage. Man, when you just look at Darden, he does not look like the typical quarterback.
No, he is big, he is strong, and
like
right there, you needed somebody who was able to bring him down, and that's part of the reason that Alex Trujillo has gotten the start this week, is because he is an outstanding, solid tackler, 222 pounds, 5'10", out of Naples, Florida. Great job filling the hole and stopping him for a gain of one.
Third and eight. Shotgun again with a slot right. Split to the left side. It's going to be Crowther back there to the left of Darden in the pocket. Darden looking. Looking. Throws down across the middle, and it's incomplete. Intended pass down around the 45-yard line. He was looking for Jensen, but he got clocked.
Yeah, Jensen, it was thrown just behind him, but you had Gallagher coming from the backside, but Kyle Murray was the guy who ends up making the play on that ball. Good break from the safety position, and that stop will give the ball to LVC. That's good defense and a great job for a very young defense to start this game.
Adams to punt for Delaware Valley, standing back around his 27, going from right to left. Plank and Schumacher back to receive. They got cramp, I'm sorry. And there's a high punt, and Schumacher will call for the fair catch and takes it at the 20-yard line.
Here's your starting offense for LVC. Junior Tim Peroni is the quarterback, throwing just under 48% on the season, but the second leading rusher on the team behind the senior Brendan Irving. 300 yards rushing on the season so far for the senior. He may be back to pretty close to full health. Evan Lysak, the junior fullback in front of him. Travis Saylor is the senior wide receiver. Kyle Zimnick gets the start this week as sophomore wide receiver. And Dylan Berbrick now elevated to the starting role as a junior tight end. Offensive line of Ryan Kingshill, Logan Stover, Bryant Weller, Anthony Sorbin, and Bob Van Horn. Van Horn and Sorbin have been rotating time. They get starts this week.
From the 21-yard line, backs are in the eye. Peroni's going to roll to the right, looking, throwing down the sideline, but overthrows the intended receiver of Michael Gavel.
Yeah, Gavel going long. They ran a little combo route over here with an in-patterner from Saylor and running the wheel off of that with Gavel. But you know what, John? This is what this team needs to do. Everyone's keying on the running game. Play action, roll your quarterback out. There's good coverage on the play, but it forces this defense early on to realize, hey, every single time we come up here on first down, we're not just going to run the ball directly at you. Now this may loosen some things up. We'll see how this affects the game.
And the rain starting to pick up once again. Second down and 10 from the 21. Handoff up the middle to the fullback, and that will be Robinson. Sometimes they'll go with two fullbacks back there. Sometimes they'll put Fink back there as the fullback, but Robinson will grind out a few up to the 24.
And Delaware Valley's had some real success in the past. This is a team that has always had a very staunch defense, especially against the run. They average only 80.3 yards per game against so far this year. That's second in the conference. They're topping a lot of everything else. Overall, they're tops passing defense. They're third. So this is a team that defensively has a lot of playmakers.
Third down. Peroni rolling to the left on play action, looking upfield now, throwing deep. He's got Saylor down there, but he turned him around, and he was double covered. Incomplete. And the punting, and it comes in.
Delaware Valley does such a good job in the intermediate routes and the short routes of trying to take those away that they want the quarterback to be throwing the ball long. They want to bait him into throwing it long because they have great speed in the back. And free safety Sean Miller, one of the main reasons why. Three picks on the year. They came back in week one against Wesley when Delaware Valley really put themselves on the map nationally with the upset of the number 7 team at that time in the nation.
Moser back to punt. On fourth down, standing back around his own 11-yard line. High, wobbly punt. Got a little distance. It'll be taken and fumbled around the 40-yard line and then picked right back up by Shorter down the near sideline. Made something out of nothing, and he gets to the 39 of LVC.
John, there's a lot there, though. And the reason is because as soon as he dropped that football, eyes got big and people got out of lanes. So you run directly out of football, and Shorter just grabs and goes right around the opening gunner who's coming down that side. You've got to maintain discipline. Even when the guy drops the football, it's on turf. Ball's probably going to bounce right up to him. And they got out of the lanes, and it cost them with a good return and excellent field position for Delaware Valley.
So excellent field position here to start their second offensive series. First and 10 at the 40 of LVC. Hand off to Ellis off the right side. Grinds it inside the 35. Will be tackled at the 34-yard line.
This is a Delaware Valley team offensively top in the conference, averaging over 412 yards per game. The number two rush offense in the conference behind, well, Lebanon Valley College, of course. 190 yards per game, though, but this team is very balanced. They're at 190 yards per game rushing, 223 yards per game passing. So this team has been able to get it done on both ends of the offensive side.
Second down and three at the 33 of LVC. And in motion to the far side, that's going to be Bing taking it around the end, picks up the first, driven out of bounds near the 22-yard line.
Yeah, Bing on the season, 15 carries. And we've seen a lot of small wide receiver types in the past where Delaware Valley has liked to run them around the side. You've got a head coach for the Aggies and Duke Greco in his third year with the program, also calling the plays over there just like Joe Beeler does for LVC. And he knows that these smaller wide receivers in that jet sweep motion can get loose.
First and 10 at the 22. Shotgun again for Darden. He has Ellis to his back left side. And he's got twins on the left side. And on the far side, he's going to put Cole out there. Throw across the middle, incomplete. Had a man wide open. And that was actually Ellis.
Now,
Marquise Ellis.
Oh, Marquise Ellis, yeah.
Right. Marquise Ellis, not Devontae Ellis, who's been running the football.
And I got Marquise Ellis as having no stats on the year, and all of a sudden they're running him out here.
Yeah.
This is Delaware Valley. I mean, you had so many different guys who are going to be running out there on the field at different times in skill position.
Second down and 10, handoff going to the left side. It's going to be Cleveland trying to get out and around inside the 20 to the 15. Tackled close to the 14. He'll be a yard or two shy of the first.
Yeah, and the bad news for the conference, John, is this offensive line, which has proven to be very good for Delaware Valley, they got a junior, a freshman, a junior, and only one senior. He's over on that right tackle position. So that's a young group.
Third and two at the 14. This time backs in the eye. Darden under center. The deep back is Robert Cleveland. He'll get the carry. He'll take it to the outside. Getting pulled from behind. Stood up at the 10, but he does have the first down for Delaware Valley. It'll be a first and goal to go at the 10.
That's where our secondary players came up, made the stop. They're getting right off that end. Those defensive linemen are getting held up on the inside, caught in the mix. That means your linebackers have to flow. They're getting caught in the wash, and it's forcing the guys in the secondary to have to make those plays and stops in the running game, and that's not good news for the defense.
Darted in the shotgun. He's got two players over on the right side. And man in motion comes to the backside, Tyler Bing to his left. He'll get the carry going up the middle, gets tripped up right at the line of scrimmage by Guy Zimmerman.
Yeah, Zimmerman saw Bing coming in, and that's a curious play call why you would run a guy 5'6", 170 pounds, and try to go between the tackles with him. But they did it anyways, and Guy Zimmerman got off his block quickly and chopped him down for no gain.
Second and goal at the 10-yard line. They'll put Bing and Shorter on the right side. Now they'll move him. Instead, they'll send Shorter over to the left side with a slot to the right. Shotgun, Darden. In the pocket, throws left on the slant, touchdown, Eric Shorter. 10-yard touchdown pass.
It's a great read, too, because he reads that the pressure's coming. He reads blitz, and that means he's got one-on-one on the outside. Spencer Moser, who's playing a little bit to the outside of the receiver, trying to protect the corner, and the quick slant from Shorter is enough to get the separation necessary. Ball delivered right where it needs to be, leading him into the end zone, and the Aggies are on the board.
With 8:23 to go here in the first. Extra point kick coming up.
Nick Restaino, perfect 18 of 18 on the season coming in.
Here's the hold, and the kick is on the way, and it's good. We'll step out. 8:23 to go in the first. Delaware Valley 7, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
Back in Anvil, John Wilsbach, Ryan Kaiser, and Delaware Valley on the board first. 7-0 Aggies on a 10-yard touchdown pass from Darden the Shorter.
A 7-play, 40-yard drive took 3 minutes and 4 seconds, but the beginning of the whole thing happens when the offense goes 3 and out. You get a short punt that's returned well. Excellent field position. When you win the battle of field position, favors that offense, and the Aggies make LVC defensively pay for it.
Penko back to receive with Gavel. Kickoff to the near side, end over end, but it's going out of bounds along the near side. And we do have another female referee, or I'm sorry, not referee, but official in today's game. Head linesman, I believe.
Line judge on the side. Yeah. Let's take a look at the Delaware Valley defense. They were so quickly on and off the field, we didn't get a chance to look at them last time. They run a 3-4 with Eric Boys and Mark Isaac. The defensive ends, Devontae Ford, is 330 pounds and is a load to try to move out of the nose. Outside backers of Nick Wright, Frank Law, T.J. Waters, and Nicholas Degatti are your inside backers. Sammy Moore, Jalen Mays, Sean Miller, and Jaron McBride, an all-underclassmen secondary.
LVC first and 10 from their own 35. In the eye with Irving the deep back, Peroni under center. I'll stretch it left. Irving trying to find a place to cut it up following the blocks and pushes it all the way up across the 40 to the 41 for a gain of 6.
Now, on the first down and distance, they try to go past. This time, they go back to their bread and butter. Now, they try Brendan Irving behind the strong side of the line of scrimmage. And I think a couple things. Number one, we've found out that Brendan Irving is a little nicked up the last couple games, probably about as healthy as he's been since the beginning of the season. Also, Ryan Kingshill over at left tackle, he's a lot healthier now, a few weeks removed from his injury situations.
Well, Irving comes out. They put Salerno back there next to Peroni, who's in the shotgun on second down and 4. Peroni's going to run to the right. Looks to cut it up, has the first down across the 45, and pushes his way all the way up to the 48-yard line for a first down.
And there is no play action of any sort on that play. We're just going to run this football, and we're going to use Tim Peroni, who, I'll tell you what, I mean, for a guy who's 165 pounds, and he does not even look 165 pounds, honestly, even with his pads on, just 5'11", but man, is he a ferocious and fearless runner out there coming into this game. 211 yards on the ground from the quarterback position, 4 touchdowns, averages almost 6 yards a carry. Excellent job.
First and 10, it's Irving back in the game and up the middle, finds a hold, gets across midfield inside the 45 to the 43-yard line of Delaware Valley.
You know, and he looks healthier too. There was something going on in the first 4 games,
yeah.
And it was, we almost felt like it was because defense was stacking the line, but he just wasn't himself.
Peroni's going to keep it on a quarterback sneak. Gets enough for the first down as flags are thrown as he gets to the 40-yard line. Did someone lead with a helmet there on him?
Not sure where the flag came from, though. That's sometimes
the key.
Yeah,
the flag came from the far side, but...
But was it thrown into the pile? Because it may have been an illegal motion or an offside.
Oh, it's just a sideline warning. That's why it was thrown on the far side.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a warning now. Next time it's a penalty.
They classify that, what, as just a delay of game?
Or? Yes, more or less.
7-0, Delaware Valley, 6:41 to go in the first. LVC first and 10 at the 40. Now the Aggies, Irving behind Lysak. With a slot to the left side, they'll go Irving trying to go up the middle, and he gets wrapped up at the ankles and goes nowhere. He'll lose a half yard.
Well, they went to the short side that time, and right in their way was Eric Boys, the 6'1", 230-pound senior defensive end. What this Aggies defense has traditionally been has been they've had guys who are just terrors off the edge, and both Boys and Isaac, the two starters for this team, have 2 sacks each coming in. They got another up-and-comer in Kristen Snowden, who's, you will see him from time to time. He also has a couple sacks. And then you put one big guy in the middle that is almost impossible to move, and that's Devontae Ford.
Second down and 11. It's going to be Peroni keeping it up the middle. They fake to Irving going left, and Peroni just gets back to the original line of scrimmage. Only a gain of two, maybe. He'll mark him at the 39, and now brings up a 39.
He's been inaccurate with his first two passes, but he's gone long with them. Let's see if they can pick out some sort of a route combination that can get some of these mid-range, intermediate-type routes open. Something 5 to 10 yards down the field. Something 5, you got to lead your receiver in a place where they can make a bigger play. If it's one of those 10 yards, got to make sure that that receiver gets past the sticks so when they catch the football, they've already got the first down.
They'll go with Gavel and Saylor on that left side. They'll put Baxter to the right. Shotgun Peroni on 39 at the 39. He's going to keep it again and try to run it up the middle. And he will only get a few yards out of it. His flags are thrown. May get a hold also against LVC.
Worst case scenario here is a penalty, John. Is with LVC, I think what they had already determined here from this position, that's a play call when you're going to make this four down territory and go for it on fourth down.
It seemed like he had lost his footing just for a second back there, and that kind of slowed things up as well. But it's going to go against LVC.
It is a hold. And it's going to be something that, you know, if you thought about this one and said, okay, it's fourth down and still long if they don't have the first down. But the Aggies realize, too, you're this far, they're going to go for it here. So if you're going to go for it on fourth down anyways, hey, move them back, make them punt the football. Don't give them that chance to try to pick up a first down and get momentum.
Third down and 19. LVC at the 49 of Del Valle. They'll go with a slot far side. Baxter on the near side. Shotgun Peroni in the pocket. Looking, throwing down the middle, and overthrown. He was looking for the tight end, Clark, but put it out there too far. And now brings up a fourth down. The punting unit comes in.
And again, that's a deep pass being thrown. The ability to make accurate deep passes is a lot less than it is to make short passes. But Peroni, in reading what was going on there, because it was a third down and long, they had all four receivers doing fly patterns. And that's what they were trying to freeze the safety and allow Clark down the seam, but it just didn't work out that way.
Moser's got the wind to his back. He's standing at his own 38, shorter back to receive for Delaware Valley. He'll boot this one. Just gets it away. A nice high spiral. Shorter gets out of the way, bounces at the 15 inside the 10, and down around the 2-yard line, and that's where LVC recovers it, around the 2 or 3-yard line.
That should have been...
Is that Nick Tucker?
That should be Nick Tucker.
Yep. Tucker, they're going to mark it right on the 4. So he grabbed it, went down on the turf.
And those people who can watch that, if that play happens in the National Football League, it's a touchback.
Right, because he rolled in.
Right. In college football, as soon as you are touching with your body down to the ground, the play is dead. So that's why that one is down at the 4, whereas at the next level up, that would be in the end zone.
4:21 to go in the first, 7-0, Delaware Valley. Darden this time under center. He's got two backs back there, Reinhard, one of them. Instead, he's going to throw deep down that right side, and a lot of contact over there, but... No flags are thrown.
And I think that was actually a good no call because you had Gilger. Now, I can't see on that side either how Gilger was using his body, but if nothing else, it's a sneaky play by a defender to, as you continue going and turn for the football, to continue using your body to inch that receiver closer and closer to the sideline. When they collided, there was nothing that the official saw that was intent to knock him over.
That was intended for Marquise Ellis. It will be a 2nd and 10 from their own 4-yard line. Double slot. Handoff up to Cleveland, trying to go to the right side. Breaks one tackle, then wrapped up around the 8-yard line. He'll pick up 4 on the carry.
And this becomes a huge down and distance for the Flying Dutchman D. You're already down 7-0. You have an opportunity with a great punt from Moser, the ball being down where it is, and a third down play, chance to try to get off the field. Here's the bad news. Defensively, you're giving up 52% of third downs are being converted into first downs for the opposing's offense.
Well, mark it closer to the 9. We'll call it 3rd and 5. Darden shotgun in the pocket. Throws across the middle. As a man, that's complete for a first down all the way up to the 30-yard line to Mike Jensen.
Jensen seems to be the go-to guy also for this team, even though he's not technically a starter. 6'2 senior, has 12 catches, 212 yards, 4 touchdowns, just runs out of that slot, comes across the middle of the field. You leave the corners alone, and you force the safeties to come up and play coverage, and they usually are not quite as good as the corners in doing that. He finds that opening.
23 on the pass, first and 10 now for Delaware Valley at their own 32-yard line. Trips to the near side and a split to the far side. Darden again in the pocket, has plenty of time, throws. Jensen again. Does he have it? He does come down with it. He was barely clinging to it and got tackled at the 49 of LVC.
That's a great catch from Jensen. The concentration, outstanding. And they ran two routes, and it forced Spencer Moser, the corner, to be late to be able to react, because he had to run with the outside receiver. As they were running a guy down the outside, James Cole Jr., Moser had to stay with him, and then right on his inside, you had Jensen running that route, cutting it off, and as Moser got in there, didn't realize the ball was down at his ankles when it was thrown. And it was an excellent catch from Jensen.
19 on the pickup, first and 10 at the 49 of LVC. Darden, a little reverse, coming back the other way. It's going to be an Uski, I believe. He's not going to get anything out of this one. That's, he tried taking around the end.
That's because Kyle Murray was coming up to the line of scrimmage. And the one senior on this LVC defensive two deep that's a starter, out of Sayville, New York, shows why he's second on the team in tackles right now. Excellent explosion to the ball, reads that play, and cuts down Inuski before he can even get going.
Loss of one, second down and 11, right at the 50. They'll put Shorter on the near side, being on the opposite side with a slot. Darden in the pocket, throws down the middle, incomplete. He had Shorter, but led him just a little bit too far. He barely got a few fingertips on it.
Shorter is an outstanding route runner. You can see that immediately. He's running at the best corner that LVC has out there in Spencer Moser. And it was one very quick jab step that got Moser to backpedal, and that allowed him to cut quickly to the inside. That plays wide open because of an excellent route from Shorter. The inaccuracy of the pass is the only thing that kept that from being a huge gain.
Third down and 11 at the 50-yard line. Cleveland standing to the right of Darden in the shotgun, in the pocket, backs up, throws across the middle, and incomplete. Was trying to hit James Cole. He got the hand on it, but he got hit by Murray.
Yeah, and Murray makes sure that play doesn't get there. But also, I think a little of the steam was taken out of that pass because there was pressure right up the gut from the LVC defense. Darden couldn't step into that ball the way he wanted to. I think if that ball gets delivered in normal tempo, that's probably a catch and a first down. Instead, because of that pass rush and then Murray on the back end knocking it away, LVC will get the stop. Much needed.
Schumacher and Cramp are back to receive. Adams from his own 40, low end over end. Cramp will take it at the 12, up to the 15, the 20, and knocked down around the 21, making the 22-yard line.
That's a great tackle that time for LVC, because Tyler Hodges was coming back to block. And
ran into him.
Cramp was he had gotten away from the initial two guys trying to keep his footing, and Hodges ran over top of him.
So with 1:44 to play in the first, Delaware Valley leading 7-0. LVC's offense back on the field from their own 22.
I don't think Hodges officially gets credit for a tackle.
No, I don't think he will either.
We'll have to check with that.
Want to forget.
Yeah.
They'll go with Irving in the eye behind Robinson. Got Gary Wise wide to the far side. Make that split to the far side. Under center is Peroni. He'll go Irving, who's immediately wrapped up in the backfield and somehow able to spin his way up to the 23 or 24-yard line. How he was able to do that, amazing.
Yeah, and also because it was Devontae Ford at 330. 330 pounds grabbing your eight. I mean, your running back is giving up over 150 pounds. And Ford comes up, was barely touched, gets in the backfield, and I think just the shiftiness of Irving was able to at least pull him free enough to get a yard out of the play.
Second down and 9. LVC in its own 23. This time it's Irving behind Lysak. Play action, Peroni rolling left, throws. It's tipped in the air, but still caught for a first down for LVC up at the 32-yard line by Travis Saylor.
It doesn't matter how it happens. Sometimes you just have to get that first completion under your belt. Mark Isaac had both hands on the football, but showing why he's a defensive end and not a wide receiver or something else, as he couldn't hold on to it, and the ball goes through him. Saylor with the excellent concentration to come back for the ball and pick up the first down. First completion of the game for the LVC offense.
Going to be Saylor on the near side, and they're also going to put Cramp in the slot. Peroni, quarterback keeper, trying to go up the middle, spins off a couple players and dives up to the 39 for a gain of about five.
Well, I think you're also, John, going to see some different guys out there for LVC today, because, you know, when you're looking for answers, you have to start trying to find different answers in different ways, and sometimes it's different personnel. See what guys can do, even if it's a guy out there blocking for you, even if it's a guy out there just getting his feet wet out there and trying to figure out, okay, where can we best utilize this individual? And that's why you're going to see some different guys, I think, for LVC.
From the 39, they'll try going up the middle to Irving, and he has nowhere to go, and even pushed to the right, just gets back close to the line of scrimmage.
That's Christian Snowden, the sophomore defensive end, and we are at the end of one quarter of play, and LVC looking at a deficit.
After one, Delaware Valley 7, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back with the second quarter in 60 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Wigan Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, WiganBuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you in Anvil. Light rain coming down. More of a light misty rain. LVC starting the second quarter with the football on a third down and six from its own 38, going right to left, down by seven. Slot to the near side. Shotgun Peroni. He'll roll to the left. He'll throw the out pass. Gavel has it complete for a first down up to the 46-yard line.
And that's what you need. You need a shorter route, something for Peroni to have some comfort with. Those long passes that he read and threw earlier in the game, low percentage passes. That one, you need enough for the first down. You run your receiver on an out pattern. He makes sure he has enough yards to pick up the first down. Good job that time on the route by Gavel and holding that ball in, and it's perfectly delivered by Tim Peroni.
First and 10, LVC from its own 46. Irving the deep back behind Lysak. He'll get the carry, trying to go right, but has nowhere to go, and he'll be stacked up. And they will say he loses 2 yards back to the 44.
Here's the rest of the scoreboard right now in the MAC today. FDU Florham has a 13-0 lead at Wilkes in the first quarter. Oh. Stevenson, with about 5 minutes left to go in the first, has a Crawley Lambert touchdown to go up on Misericordia 7-0. And King's College, the team that beat LVC, they're at Albright today, already down 14-0 to the Lions. Widener is at Lycoming. That game starts at 1:30.
Second down and 12 from the 44. Peroni rolling right, looking, throws up along the sideline. Too high for Wise over his hands and head. Out of bounds. It'll be incomplete in the third down and 12 coming up for the Flying Dutchman.
Had pressure in his face, so he had to deliver that ball. And anytime you see a quarterback not be either able to square his shoulders or step into a throw completely, a lot of times you'll see that ball soar. That's where, if that ball's in the middle of the field, that's where your free safeties usually pick up their interceptions. You see so many free safeties lead teams in interceptions, and one of those reasons why is because of those high throws across the middle that are inaccurate for that same reason.
Third down and 12. Shotgun Peroni slot to the right. He's going to roll right. Now he'll throw back to the tight end. Clark dodges one tackler, gets hit from behind, gets across midfield, but only picks up several. They'll mark him at the 48, and the punting unit will come in.
Boy, that's a great play call on second down. But on third down, you need too much, and you're asking your freshman tight end to do a lot. They really like Patrick Clark. This is a kid with good size. You can see his athleticism, has excellent hands, probably the best pass-receiving tight end that they've got, and they use him in that situation. He's a guy who needs to put on some weight and some muscle as far as getting the full package of a tight end and blocking, but that's why they have the other two guys. You got Berbrick and Manning, the two guys who are out there who do a lot of the blocking at tight end. They bring in Clark on those passing situations, and they look for him.
And we've seen Berbrick with some catches already this season, too.
It's not like the other two can't catch.
Right.
It's just that in those long yardage situations, Clark has a little bit more speed, and they like that out of the tight end position on maybe a play like that where you can try to use his athleticism and try to break him off. And he was probably about one block away from being able to pick that one up, and that's what you're hoping for.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you. We're back again next weekend. Hopefully better conditions, weather conditions, when it is homecoming here at LVC. Make sure you go to lvc.edu. Look at all the upcoming festivities, programs, and things to take part in, and you alumni get your membership in and see at the tailgate party. It's a fourth down punting situation. Moser standing back at his own 39. Has time. Boots this one high against the wind. Fair catch called for and taken around the 16-yard line where it's down by Mike Inuski.
Another punt, though, in this game inside the 20, and for Spencer Moser, that's now six out of his 16 punts on the season. That's not a bad percentage, considering you don't know where you're punting from all the time, so he's actually done a pretty good job, only one touchback in that punting opportunity.
So the offense for the Aggies back out there, Ellis as the lone tailback. Darden is under center. They'll go to Ellis up the middle, looking for a hole, finds one, bounces off a couple players, and then knocked down near the 21, but after he picks up five on the run.
Patient run. He comes up the line of scrimmage, and there's nothing there initially, and he just looks for some place to go. But he doesn't force it. He sort of is very patient, trying to pick his way through until something opens up. He sees his offensive linemen are starting to engage their blocks, and he reads that very well. That's a very good gain on first down, considering there wasn't much there.
Give him six. He'll get the carry again, trying to go up the middle, bounces off a player, and then gets pushed way back. Good strength shown there by Lobach.
Yeah, Dylan Lobach, and you're looking at a lot of youth on this LVC defense, and Dylan Lobach is a freshman out of New Tripoli, Pennsylvania. They love what he gives them as far as his athleticism and his understanding of the game. We've seen him, if you're a linebacker, you have got to be able to read the game extremely well, and they trust Lobach already as a freshman. It's a tough position to break in sometimes as an underclassman.
Trips left, split on the right. Crowder back there next to Darden. He's in the pocket. Shotgun gets flushed, running and sacked all the way back at the 17-yard line.
That's Trent Dolan, the sophomore defensive tackle out of Elysburg. Had a half a sack coming in. That's a full sack he's going to get on that one. As the pressure forced Darden to step up from around the edge, and that's why Donlin was there. Because as the defensive tackle, if you can't get the bull rush on, you hang out, you make sure there's nowhere for that quarterback to step up into. And then for the LVC defense, just the sixth sack of the year, but it stops the Aggie drive.
11:51 to go in the second, 7-0 Delaware Valley. Now they will be punting deep. It'll be Steven Adams standing back near or just inside the goal line. Was there a flag after that? They are marking it back.
Apparently so.
It sounds like they got them for another sideline violation. That's
unnecessary roughness is the call.
Roughness. Now, this is going to mark it all the way back to the 8.
Must take advantage of this now.
Yeah.
You're going to have great, barring a an unbelievable punt here, you are going to have tremendous field position for LVC. This is your chance to get even in this game.
Adams will be standing deep in the end zone to punt. Schumacher and also Cramp to receive. They're standing in midfield. Adams will have a little bit of a breeze to his back.
Unsportsmanlike call was against Eric Shorter after the play of the wide receiver.
7-0, Delaware Valley leading LVC. They're waiting for the chain gang guys holding the markers to get into position. And now we're ready on fourth down.
Bring that four back here. Come on.
You like seeing the four.
I love seeing the four as long as we're not the team on offense.
That's right. All right, Adam standing pretty deep in the end zone. Gets away the punt. Soft one to the near side. Fair catch called for by Cramp. And they'll grab it at the 45 of Delaware Valley. So Flying Dutchman offense will have excellent field position here, trailing 7-0.
This is a play call situation, John, where I think in the past we've seen LVC teams, it's almost like a turnover. You've got a chance with a short field, go after it right away. I don't think we're going to see it here, just because I think with how this game is being played, they're very comfortable being close to the vest, but I think this is one of those situations where if you had your quarterback a little bit more accurate with his deep ball early, you might try it.
At the 45 of Delaware Valley, backs are in the eye. Irving, the deep back. They'll give it to him going right side, following Robinson. Gets out around the end, breaks a tackle there at the 40, and knocked out of bounds near the 36-yard line. Maybe even the 35. Let's see where they mark it. I think he's going to be just shy of the first down.
I think the other thing you've got to recognize, too, if you're LVC, you can like your running game all you want, but you got to look at where your running game's strong. And where it's not strong right now is trying to run at the big 330-pounder up the middle. So now run the ball to the edges. Try to get it to the outside. And they ran wide side of the field, allowed Irving to string that one out. It just kept opening and opening and opening, and finally ends up picking up 8.
They mark it at the 37, second and 2. Backs again in the eye. Second man is Fink, has the first as he dives inside the 35 to the 33-yard line. Gain of 4.
And they'll keep rotating the backs, and we have an injured LVC lineman, I believe.
Not sure if he's cramping up or if it's an injury. He's face down and in some pain. We'll take an injury timeout with 11:09 to go in the second. Delaware Valley 7, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
Delaware Valley leading 7-0 here in Anvil with some light misty rain dripping at times. It's just going to be this way all afternoon. It's a word for dank.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
Dank, musty, anything you can think of that describes a basement. It's unfinished.
Welcome to the basement.
There
folks.
You go. That's so you're in the basement of football conditions right now. Is Anthony Sorbin getting his second start of the season? The senior right guard out of Delmont, Pennsylvania, is going to walk off the field under his own power. Looks like an ankle, possibly, just how he's sort of trying to walk it off. But you know, those offensive linemen, you need those feet, and especially anything in that leg area, to be able to push off with full strength. And you've got a good backup there in Scott Werner, who also has started 3 games this year himself. So he comes in at the right guard position to line up next to Lee Amoros, who's in the game right now as he rotates with Bob Van Horn over at right tackle.
First and 10, LVC at the 33 of Delaware Valley. Peroni in the shotgun. He's going to put Salerno to his left. even has both fullbacks in here, Robinson and Lysak, and Lysak moves over to the left. Peroni's going to keep it, running it up the middle, and gets just inside the 30-yard line for a gain of four.
Student body left. That's what that play is, where you really have nothing you can run out of that except for we're going to run the football, and our quarterback's the only guy who's going to be possibly running the football. But we're going to tell you we're doing this, and we're going to try to gash you anyways. And they got a good gain out of it, 4 yards. Peroni with an excellent cutback to the inside as nothing was there where he wanted to go to the left.
Zimnik's going to line up wide on the far side. They'll go with Keene on the left. Backs are in the eye with Irving, the deep back, on second and six at the 29. Getting the call from the sideline, and you can tell there was some confusion about what they wanted to do. Not using them big boards, are they? Huh? You gotta wonder. I'd like to know what the carrot top one is.
Might have to ask at some point.
Sure, carrot top on one of them.
The boards, though. I mean, are they laminated?
Oh, good point.
I mean, maybe they're. I think they're back here by the bench.
Yeah, they had one that was along the sideline, but. You know, it's kind of interesting, some of the giant pictures they use.
Oh, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Maybe Carrot Top is red. It's a color. It's a possibility, but yeah, we'll have to find it.
Carrots are orange.
His hair isn't, though. I'll tell you what. He's ripped, though. I mean,
he's
somebody who.
Yes.
I'm not saying play him on the offensive line, but I could see him as like a linebacker, strong safety type.
He has, they make jokes out of him on Comedy Central when they do those roasts about how he looks and his steroids and everything else.
Well, I'm not saying he's doing it legally. I'm just saying he's got some muscles.
Second down and six. Zimnik goes in motion to the near side with backs in the eye. They'll go left. And Irving trying to find a place to run, and he's not going to get there. And he's going to lose about three back to the 32.
But it's three down territory here, four down territory here, you would think, John, unless they would take a sack here. So you're looking third down. You've got two downs to try to pick up the first down. That being said, I think you go for something that 5 yard, 6 yard out pattern that they threw to Gavel earlier might not be a bad move. They like some sort of combination read. The guy I wish I'd see out there right now is Saylor. I don't see him out. He's the most trusted receiver, I think, that they have.
They're going Gavel and Keene on the right and Baxter to the left. Shotgun Peroni. He's going to roll to the right. He's looking. He's throwing deep upfield toward the end zone. It's intercepted in the end zone by Delaware Valley and Jaron McBride.
That ball just thrown to the strong safety, more or less, and that's a poor read from Peroni. He has Keene doing the out and up, and that requires you to think at that point, hey, you're going to beat a corner. This Delaware Valley defense, very sneaky with their coverage with the safeties. They do a good job of sneaking them back to support deep, especially against a team like LVC that you know when they like to throw the ball, a lot of times they like to throw the ball with some air underneath and try to go long on you. So that double move works on the corner because he knows he's got support back. Peroni didn't see that, and he throws it right into the coverage, and the safety was there.
First and 10 from the 20-yard line. Hand off to the right side. It's going to be Tyler Bing trying to get out around, and he's maybe going to get a yard, maybe two, if that, on the carry.
What the Aggies have done, though, is when LVC had a short field situation for their offense, they weren't able to convert, weren't able to get points. Now, Delaware Valley with a little bit of momentum on the road and already a 7-point lead after the turnover.
Second down and nine. Darden in the shotgun. Cleveland to his left with a trips to the left side. Now Cleveland takes another step back. He'll get the carry trying to go left. Now cuts it up and spins his way up to the 25 for a gain of a few more.
And LVC has a problem on the far side that nobody picked up, and that is that Nick Tucker, the defensive back, sophomore out of Walkersville, Maryland, did not get up after the block by Ellis on that side, Marquise Ellis. Ellis got up, and he was applauding because he had made a great block, and part of the reason was because the guy he was blocking ends up being injured. I think he's holding his right shoulder at this point, so another injury stoppage.
Now they're going to help him to his feet, and he'll jog off the field.
Marquise Ellis is 6'3", 190 pounds. So he's a big wide receiver, and it's one of the reasons they're using him out there.
Now Tucker comes to the sideline, but he's going to get checked out. Looks like they're just checking out the hand or the arm. Third down. And a short five. Trips to the near side, split far side. Darden in the pocket, looking, throwing down the left side, as a man wide open. That's shorter. He'll have the first down up across the 40 to the 41-yard line.
I think they were trying to attack where Tucker was, but they had slid Spencer Moser over to that side. You'd think you have the more experienced player over there in coverage, but Moser ends up getting backed off. I already talked about shorter in the routes that he runs. His speed is enough to scare the defensive back. A lot of cushion, and when he makes that break, it's tough to come back to it.
First and 10, Delaware Valley at its own 41. Shorter in motion. Darden throwing deep, looking for Ellis down the near side, and overthrows. Now they're throwing a flag. That one didn't even look like it was going to be catchable for Ellis, as he had a little bumping contact down through there with Gilger.
It's the right call, though, John, because Gilger on that play, and I think this is the beef that Delaware Valley had earlier in the game on the other side. As Gilger's turning to run for the ball, this time, instead of running with the wide receiver, he slams back into the wide receiver, and while it looked like it probably wasn't catchable, it's a ball that you can't know for sure because his momentum was blocked and had no chance to actually try to accelerate and go get the ball.
7:38 to go in the second. 7-0 Delaware Valley leading LVC. The penalty will mark it all the way up to the 44 of LVC. So the Aggies keep moving the football now into Flying Dutchman territory. They go on the near side with Jensen and in motion Anuski. They'll hand it off up the middle to Ellis. He finds a hole and he's off to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. 44-yard touchdown run by Devontae Ellis. Delaware Valley makes it 13-0.
That's some good blocking at the point of attack. The problem with how LVC has to play defensively, they have to bring those safeties up to the line of scrimmage. If they don't come up and help and run support, and if they get caught in the wash, all of a sudden you've got no one back behind. Ellis breaks that containment, and he's off to the races. Nobody with a chance to go get him.
Stano in for the extra point kick. From left to right, wind to his back. They'll line it up. High snap, put down, kick away, and it is good. We'll step out. 7:30 to go in the second. Delaware Valley 14, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
Delaware Valley up 14-0 on the Flying Dutchman.
And they end up scoring off the turnover. So LVC has the short field. They have the ball intercepted in the end zone. And four plays, 80 yards, and a minute 47 later. Didn't take much, and the Aggies are in the end zone. Not the way you want to turn this game around, but the defense actually has been pretty good outside of, you know, that one big run. They've shut down the Aggies' running game for the most part in this first half. The issue is they can't get anything going offensively. And until that changes, you don't have much of a chance.
Kickoff taken by Gavel with the 8 up to the 20 near sideline, 25, and then knocked out of bounds around the 26. So the offense comes back out on the field, but a missed opportunity last series.
And Tyler Cottle is coming out to be the quarterback, and this does not surprise me at all here, John.
Yeah, because the running game just isn't getting it done, so they've got to get something going with it. With, you know, the few passes we saw, they made some things happen at times, with the exception of the interception.
I had a feeling that this was going to be the move that was made by Coach Beeler. Just because we've seen Peroni trying to throw the ball deep, and that last time it was a very poor read, not even recognizing the safety coverage. He goes with Cottle here.
Slot to the right side. Cottle rolling to the right. He'll throw far side. Has a man at Sailor. Complete at the 40 and out of bounds at the 42. It's a first down for LVC.
Notice one other thing, too. Cottle comes in the game, and the very first play, what do? They throw the football. So, for whatever reason, they want to trust the arm of Cottle immediately right off the bat with his first play. And what that does is it's going to immediately give him some confidence. Even though he threw off his back foot, he had Sailor coming back to him and picked out the right guy.
And we didn't see Sailor on that last series, but he's out there this time wide right, gavel to the left. First and 10 from their own 42 with backs in the eye, Irving the deep back. They'll go to Irving right side. He'll cut it up at the 45 and spins his way up to the 49-yard line, a gain of 7.
And it gashed over to the right-hand side. And you know, the one thing that you lose with Cottle at quarterback, Peroni is more of a threat to run. But we saw in the preseason, in the scrimmage against Dickinson, Cottle actually had some pretty good wheels. I don't know that they are going to necessarily call planned running plays to him, but he was able to get out of the pocket in the game against Dickinson in the preseason and actually show some pretty good quickness.
Sailor to the left, gavel to the right, second down and 3 at the 49. Irving the deep back behind Lysak. Cottle under center this time. He'll hand it off to the fullback, and Lysak will have the first down to the 46 of Delaware Valley.
They don't give those fullbacks many chances. Just the 8th carry of the season for the junior fullback out of Reading, Pennsylvania. But Evan Lysak makes it count. A first down pickup, and this offense all of a sudden has some rhythm. It looks like they're playing with a little bit more confidence, shall we say.
Indeed. First and 10 at the 46 of Delaware Valley. They go with a slot to the left side. And Sailor and gavel, Lysak in the eye with the deep back as Irving. Cottle back to pass, throwing to the left. Gavel has it at the 40, keeps his balance, and able to claw his way to about the 46. Late flag thrown, might be a face mask, and should have the first down.
Yeah, we're going to tack some more on this one. Gavel did a good job of making a play for his quarterback. Again, that ball thrown off the back foot.
It was interceptable, too. Made the one-second read there earlier.
Trust me, John, I'm looking at both passes right now, and while they're both complete passes, they're not exactly confidence-inspiring for me because they're both being thrown off the back foot and sort of lobbed out there where a defensive back, if there's somebody there, could make that pick. Gavel, though, did a good job of keeping his body in between himself and the corner who was over there on the side. And as he cut to the inside, somebody grabbed a hold of his mask, and LVC has, I think, their deepest penetration of the game.
To the 22-yard line of Delaware Valley with 5:29 to go in the second quarter, 14-0. Delaware Valley, they'll keep Gavel and Sailor out there in that right side slot with Lysak and Irving in the eye behind Cottle, who's under center. Cottle takes a snap, rolling right, feeling the pressure. He'll throw to the far side, but it's incomplete. Trying to get it to Sailor, but threw this one out of bounds.
That'd be called running for your life,
too.
Cottle had a lot of pressure coming right up the middle as Delaware Valley, with a different quarterback out there, now they're not as worried about the scrambling ability of Peroni, so they're sending guys. And that was Christian Snowden, that sophomore who has 2 sacks already on the season. He had a beat on Cottle on the play, and Cottle did well to get rid of that football into an area where his receiver was, make sure it was incomplete.
Cottle, the 6'6 junior from Elizabethtown High School, 2nd and 10 at the 22 of Delaware Valley. Backs in the eye with Wise, split to the left side. They'll give to Irving, and he'll get to the 20-yard line, a gain of only 2.
interesting play call coming up here too, John, because you've got a third down. It's a passing situation. You also have to think they're down 14-0, that they might think that this is four-down territory too. Or do you try to get points on the board? Whatever it is, I think this is definitely a Connell who's going to be asked to do something with his arm on this play. Let's see if Saylor's the guy they go to. I think he's their money receiver, the guy that if you have a big play that you want to look for, number 84 on the far side.
Third and eight at the 20 of Delaware Valley. Shotgun, Cottle, little shovel pass forward, but Delaware Valley was right there on Fink and shut him down immediately for a loss of a couple yards.
Second leading tackle under this Aggies defense, Nick Dugatti, the junior linebacker, read that play perfectly. If he doesn't, that's a big game. They tried to sneak that one by, and everyone was going with the play, saw the play fake, and Fink coming the opposite way on the shovel pass. Dugatti shuts it down, and LVC will go for it here. It is too far out anyways right now for a field goal attempt.
It's marked all the way back at the 23-yard line.
One thing you got to do here is you got to make sure whatever throw you make and whatever route you're running is past the first down marker. That's the most important thing in this situation. LVC, they're going to call timeout to talk about it.
We'll step out with 3:57 to play in the second quarter. It's Delaware Valley 14, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Fourth down coming up, and we return in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, LVC with a fourth down and 11 at the 23 of Delaware Valley.
Quick scoreboard update around the MAC. Second quarter scores, FDU Florham leads Wilkes 19-7. Stevenson up 21-0 at Misericordia. Albright has a 17-0 lead on Kings. And in the first quarter, Widener leads at Lycoming 7-0.
Trips to the right with Gavel, Baxter, and Saylor, shotgun, Cottle. He'll roll to the right, looking, throws, and incomplete. He had a man down at the 10-yard line, but Saylor could not hold on.
He got hit from the side, but the ball was delivered. But that's the guy you wanted to go to. You got the exact route, too, that it looked like it was open.
That's a drop.
Yeah, and you need to make a play for your quarterback. You got some momentum going right now. You have a drive that looks like it might stall. He runs the right route. He gets past the first down marker, and as he comes back for that football, just lost just a little bit of concentration as being in traffic.
So Delaware Valley takes over first and 10 from their own 23 with 3:51 to go here in the half. Bing goes in motion. Keeper by the quarterback. Darden rolling to the right side here, and he will pick up about 4 or 5 all the way up to the 28.
And this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways. Defensively, you cannot give up points on this drive.
No.
Going down 3 scores into the locker room, even though being at home, is not a recipe for success. You've got to hold them here. Whether you get points yourself or get the chance to do something at the end of the first half, at least you can regroup at halftime and see if what you're going to do for half number 2.
Second down and 6. Once again, Bing in motion. Darden swings it out to him, and he can't catch it. It's incomplete. He had him open briefly. Yetter was coming over that way and picked up the football because he thought, well, it could have been a lateral.
You might as well. Yeah, no, that's a heads-up play from a freshman. Yetter was over there and breaking on that ball, and Yetter had good position. So it may not have been a big gain, even though Bing is a very elusive player out there, but I don't think there's any question. Bing felt a little bit of heat from Yetter.
Third down and 6. Shotgun, Darden with a slot to the near side in the pocket, looking, getting pressure, rolling now to the near side, has some room to run up to the 25, the 30, the 35, and out of bounds. He'll have the first down for Delaware Valley.
And the mistake came from the defensive line. where when you have an elusive quarterback like Darden, you must keep containment in the pocket. And they thought they had a chance to go get him. So you had both guys on that near side. It was McQueen was one of them, and his defensive tackle, who was right there next to him. Both of them were in the same area, and both of them went forward and in towards Darden. That allowed Darden to duck to the outside, and nobody was there because the routes had run off the defense on that side.
First and 10, Delaware Valley at their own 37. Slot to the left side. Darden again in the pocket, has time, throwing down the near side. That is complete. Close to the first down once again will be Marquise Ellis. And they'll give it to him.
Good press coverage from Moser on the play, but the rush never got to Darden and allowed that play to keep going. Ellis was held up. That play is supposed to go out in a quick, maybe couple seconds, and instead, Darden was able to sit back there, wait for Ellis to disengage from the bump coverage of Moser and get open.
Up to the 48-yard line, first and 10. Hanoski goes in motion to the far side. Darden's going to hand it off up the middle to Ellis, and he will cut it to the left side, the 45, and then tripped up near the first down marker at the 42-yard line. Devontae Ellis with another first down.
They gave him more carries, John. I think he could potentially lead the entire conference.
I think you're
running.
Right.
I mean, he runs violently. He's 6'1", 215 pounds. And they just share the load with him with he in Cleveland, and also with Darden getting carries from the quarterback position. He's somebody that if they use him as a feature back, he would be bruising.
Darden in a shotgun, first and 10 in the pocket, has plenty of time. He's got a man thrown up to Bing, caught at the 10, tripped up from behind at the 2-yard line. 39 yards, and it will be a first and goal to go.
Tim Schumacher's coming on the backside of that play with the blitz, which means you've got to have some sort of rotation defensively to adjust for that. Well, the rotation also included a gaping hole as the safety got too far up the field, and you had two defensive backs in the same area chasing Bing, who had gotten behind both of them. That's inexcusable, cannot happen, and it now puts a first and goal after the pass play.
Reinhardt is the fullback in front of Ellis, who gets the carry going left side. Devontae Ellis will be stopped at the line of scrimmage. No gain. It will bring up a second and goal at the 2 with a minute 6 remaining in the half. And now we've got an injured Delaware Valley player.
That was a 39-yard pass play from Darden to Bing. But, John, it's a defensive concentration breakdown. Somebody did not know their responsibilities on the series, and it cost the team. And now it's going to be very difficult to keep them out of the end zone from just a couple yards out. Defense did well on first down. Can they stand up and make a big play?
Reminder, we're back here again next week. Another home game, and it is homecoming here at Lebanon Valley College. Check out lvc.edu. Plenty of festivities on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Got the golf outing. Got the Hall of Fame dinner on Friday night. On Saturday, the big tailgate party. Entertainment on Saturday evening. There's just so many great things to do if you're an LVC alumnus. Please get to the website. Get registered. And hope to see you out here next week. And hopefully Mr. Sunshine will be here as well.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it's for the most part okay right now. Just a mist coming down, but no rain at least. And the injured Delaware Valley player is up. Looks like Tamirez.
Jordan Jimenez, the left tackle, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with that.
That's what I saw. All right. Second and goal.
That means
a two.
Bob Syracuse, a 6'3 junior, 270-pounder, comes in for the Aggies at left tackle.
Cleveland is back there, but Darden's going to run it. He's got room around the end, and he'll get outside, take it in, standing up. Touchdown, untouched. The quarterback, Deshaun Darden, makes it 20-0, Delaware Valley.
That tells you all you need to know about their confidence in the backups, too, because who do they run behind? The guy who just came in the game fresh off the bench? Not a bad idea, as they were able to block well enough for Darden to wait for the outside to open up. The quarterback, as he does so well, bumps it to the outside, his second touchdown run of the season for Deshaun Darden.
Extra point kick coming up. Restaino puts it up and through the uprights. Will step out. 49 seconds to go here in the second quarter. It's 21-0. Delaware Valley leading Lebanon Valley College. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
Back in Anvil, John Wills back alongside Brian Kaiser. And it just gets uglier for LVC. You know, they needed that score so desperately with good field position last couple times down the field, but unable to get it. And Delaware Valley takes advantage of it offensively, and they work it.
Well, when it rains, it pours. Unfortunately for LVC, it hasn't been doing anything offensively. So we'll look at what happens after the kickoff.
Here's Gavel, takes it, and then drops it, picks it back up, and only makes it out to the 15-yard line.
Yeah, this is easy because you take a knee, just say to yourself, let's not make this any worse, going to the locker room, and now that you've decided that Tyler Cottle is going to be the quarterback at this point, now you go in the locker room, make adjustments around what he's going to be able to do for you. That last drive for Delaware Valley, 8 plays, 77 yards, took 3 minutes and 2 seconds for the third touchdown of the game for the Aggies. And we said before, that was a you-cannot-give-up-a-score sort of play. They did, and now we're down 21-0, and it's looking dire here at home.
They got a slot to the right side, a split to the near side. Connell's going to roll to the right from the shotgun, throws up field, and it's incomplete. Trying to get it to Gavel, pretty much got mugged. He thought it was interference, but it's incomplete and dangerous pass.
Yep, been interesting that they're deciding to try to throw it now at the 16-yard line, deep in your own end, with only one timeout left to go in the first half. This is what surprises me, John. I would think that this would be a pretty good time and place to probably take it in the locker room. But I give them credit for attempting it. They need a spark of some sort.
Second down and 10, slot right, split left. Fink is back there next to Cottle in the pocket. Cottle steps up, throwing deep down the near side, looking for Baxter, but he just puts it out there a foot too far, incomplete.
Man, does he have wheels, though, because he was on a dead sprint. The corner on that side also was at a dead sprint, and Baxter just kept pulling away. That's why if you can ever find an opportunity for Colt Baxter to just run as far as he possibly can, if the quarterback can get it to him, you got a huge play potentially. Baxter was open, but the ball overthrown.
Third and 10 from their own 16, 30 seconds remaining in the half.
This is just a draw play scenario to force a Delaware Valley to use a running play.
He's just going to hand it to Fink. He's going to run to the right following the blocks. Gets hit up around the 23. And you're Del Valley, you're going to call a timeout here because you got 21 seconds still on the clock.
And that's what throwing on first and second down and throwing incompletions does, is it allows Delaware Valley to get a chance to get the football back. You got some tall receivers. You got a strong quarterback. Depending where this punt goes, you might have a chance to get Darden to be able to throw one down towards the end zone. Is the Dutchman still out there somewhere? Because he probably has the best height on the LVC sideline. Use him back in the end zone on that.
I don't think he likes to get wet. I don't see him.
He was down there earlier. When there was no score in the game, he was down there on the sideline. He's disappeared now.
Coming up at halftime, we hope to talk to a couple of the women's basketball players, Lexi Lance, Taylor Troutman, and Brian will have all the stats and the out-of-town scoreboard for you as well. Light rain coming down again here in Anvil. It's mist, then it stops, then we get light rain, and opening of the umbrellas again. As you can usually tell when it's starting to rain. Fourth down.
They're going after him.
Yeah, Moser standing back at his own 9. Delaware Valley looking to charge. He just gets it away, end over end, taken at the 47-yard line. Anuski across midfield and tripped up at the 40 of LVC. So now we've got the pouring rain coming down with 13 seconds to go in the half.
It's actually a plus. It'll be tougher for Darden to throw the ball and grip it to throw it for a Hail Mary situation. They have one other option here, too, John. It depends how much confidence they have in Restaino, their quarterback. You could throw about a 20-yard pass because you figure the defense is going to be backing off, but you could throw a 20-yard pass and maybe attempt a field goal somewhere in that 35-yard range. I think they're just going to go long.
Now they've got trips to the near side, slot to the left, Darden back there. He fumbles the snap from the shotgun and runs it to the far side to 35 and out of bounds, stopping the clock with 7 seconds to go near the 30.
I'm telling you, you could run a quick out here, John. You have the timeout, but you take that chance on the road if you're Delaware Valley too, that the clock's not going to get stopped in time for you. But still, you could run a quick out here, and if you've got a kicker you think can make one from about 35, 40 yards, you can bring him out, try to put 3 on at the end of the half.
Second down and 1. They're at the 29 of LVC. 7 seconds to go here in the second quarter. 21-0. Delaware Valley leading LVC. They'll go with a
tall receivers both sides.
Yeah, they'll put Ellis on the far side. Now they're going to use up their final timeout because they were missing a player as James Cole came onto the field late.
Now they don't have much of a choice here.
Very well,
you can still run that 10-yard out. You can still run that here and try to pick up the first down. That's the one thing. I think if you're the defense, you actually have to allow that. You have to give that out pattern. The one thing you can't do is you can't give up the deep ball. You can't give up that touchdown. But there's so much height out there, and LVC does not have that height in their defensive secondary. So that's a concern on this play. I'm looking at guys over there for the Aggies who are really putting up some height numbers of 6'3", 6'4". I mean, they got some size. As John is quickly trying to add a window to the situation for us, and he's done so quite well.
Well, it's halftime, so I guess we can close it for a little while.
All right. We don't exactly want to short anything out either. So,
yes, exactly.
That's a good decision on your part.
We've got a lot of electronics here in front of us. Don't need to flood it out too much right now.
Let the windbag talk. I'll put it in the window, right?
There he goes. Second down and 1 at the 29 of LVC with 7 seconds to go in a half. They've got the twins right and left. Darden back there in the shotgun with Cleveland to his left. Darden in the pocket, getting pressure, unloads deep down the far side, looking for Ellis, and it's knocked out by LVC defensive play.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Teams headed to a dry locker room right now as the penalty against Del Valley makes it declined by LVC. 21-0 is our score at halftime. Delaware Valley leading Lebanon Valley College. We're going to step out, be back in about 3 minutes with the halftime show. And it's 21-0 Delaware Valley here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
And welcome back. We are at halftime here in Anvil. John Wilsbach with you. Glad to have you along, but Delaware Valley in control. 21-0 as we've got a steady rain coming down now here at halftime. But we'll get to the halftime show, and always great to have guests on from the women's basketball team here at LVC, and Taylor Troutman and Lexi Lance, the seniors coming in this season. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. It's a pleasure. Happy to be here.
So now you guys, I don't want to take you down a notch here, but you're pretty much peanut sellers these days, aren't you?
We are. Free appetizer with purchase.
I think
one
we've
for three, two for five.
Definitely. We've become the salespeople right here.
Now, this is something you guys started last year. A lot of fans, the football games, buy them, and the women's basketball team. That was a fundraiser, especially for the Puerto Rico trip.
Oh, yeah, yes. That was awesome. So, thank you.
My 21st birthday was down there. It was a great time. Thanks for everyone's support.
It was awesome. It was really an awesome experience.
Yeah. And how many teams were down there? Just three others, or were there?
There was a lot. There was like a bunch of men's teams, a bunch of women's teams that we didn't even get to play. So there was tons of us, right?
Yeah.
Like 10 or so.
We only played three games, but...
We played two.
Two?
I forget the results.
One and one.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Or did we play more than that?
I thought we played three.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Well.
Maybe you played one on the beach.
Yeah. We played lots of games on the beach. So it was fun. We got some conditioning in. Got some running around San Juan. That was
really
fun.
Humid.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, now with the whole Zika thing, I don't think you want to go back there right now, right?
It's crazy. Not
right
sounds, now.
Well, talk a little bit about the off season, because here you are, you're going into that senior year, and it's so pivotal because you want to do well, you want to finish so strong, and what are some of the things you guys do in the off season? I'll start with Lexi.
Well, we're really into early mornings. We do a lot of things at 6 a.m. We have conditioning, lifting, pickup. We're doing sports psychology sessions with one of our former teammates, Lauren Rule. She just got her master's in sports psychology out in Denver. So she's been, like, working on, like, the mental side while we do working on our physical side quite a bit lately.
Yeah, we're constantly always doing stuff. Like, if we don't have something to do, you're constantly thinking, when am I playing basketball again? Like, why am I not playing basketball? So I know we have the D3 aspect and, like, student part comes first, obviously, of the athlete, but we are always constantly revolving around basketball.
Yeah. Your practice officially doesn't start for what? The, 19th? 19th?
Yep, 19th. Okay. 6 a.m. Be there.
Are you going to be there 6 a.m.?
Yeah, I will be there.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. 6
a.m.
But until then, you're doing mostly, what, intramurals every day?
Yes, and pick up.
Yep. Pick up games?
Okay. Yep. Shooting, like working on some individual skills. The good stuff.
I heard 6 new recruits for the team.
Yes, it's a...
We lost 6, got 6 new ones.
Oh.
So 12, and half of our team is new. So we're definitely trying to incorporate everybody right now and trying to find that team chemistry and connection because we're also new and don't know each other's habits and play style.
And personalities.
Yeah.
How tough is that? Do you beat the freshmen down a little bit
and
set them in their place, or do you try to nurture them a little bit?
At first, they were, like, really, like, standoffish from us because I think they were so scared coming into a new environment, which you should be. But I think they're starting to finally mellow out and, like, show their personalities. And it's really exciting to, like, see them kind of blossom. Like, it's...
We sound like mothers.
I know. I feel like we're, like, taking them under our wing.
Yeah,
but, like...
I like them. They're all very nice. They'd be different. They're, like, the nice... They're good. We like them a lot.
Okay. They're very entertaining.
They're better freshman class.
Yes.
Now, Lexi, you went to Lampeter Strasburg.
Yes, I did.
That serves me right. And some of these new girls coming in, one's from Lancaster Catholic?
Yeah, Caroline. It's a Catholic. We played against each other twice my senior year, her freshman year. So now we're on the same side. So that'll be interesting. Better.
Do you work with her yourself?
Oh, yeah, because she's like a post player.
Yes.
So it's nice because we guard each other, I think, in high school. It seems so long ago.
Yeah.
And then now we get to, like, play with each other, so that's a lot more fun than
I remember when you were being recruited. You had a tough choice, it seemed, if memory serves me right, of either going to LVC or E-Town.
Yeah, I originally committed to E-Town, and then
did.
I switched it. Yeah.
What were some of the deciding factors on that?
Well, I was originally going to go to E-Town because the coach there I had for AAU, her name is Sherry Gorman, and I absolutely loved her. She was an amazing woman, amazing coach. And, like, it just seemed so perfect when she got their coaching job and I could go play for her. But then, just like LVC, I was recruited by Todd Wiklowski. Mm-hmm. Loved him as well. He was an awesome coach. Great freshman year with him. And, like, just the LVC atmosphere was, like, nice. Like, everything was more modern, and I just felt like I had more opportunity here. So that's when people were like, don't pick the school just because you want to play basketball. But I also loved basketball here, so that's why I was like, well, I think I would get a better experience at LVC, and I'm so glad I did because I had a great freshman year, Todd, good couple years with Coach Chikaitis, and now I have a lot of good academic opportunities here that I'm loving, so.
It seemed like Renee Fritz really took you
under
her
belt. Oh, yeah,
Renee
Fritz was a huge impact just because we both had, like, our same coaches from high school and then coming here, same position, it's, like, same everything. And Liz Borgia is doing the same kind of career path I'm doing. So she's been a huge influence, too, with me, with, like, my academics, too. So she's awesome.
Good. Taylor Troutman, you played at Tri-Valley.
Yes.
Because I remember seeing you play in high school in some playoff games against Steel High.
Oh, yes. That
serves me right.
Yes.
And who was the big player? You guys had the tall girl.
Tara Nockadell. She's playing at Virginia Tech right now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, she's a senior as well.
You stay in touch with her at still?
Yes, I love her. Oh, my gosh. She's one of my best friends, so we're always in touch.
You weren't sure if you wanted to play basketball. You were kind of, I'm not going to play, I'm going to take a year off. What was going on there?
I came in, I went to Cal U of PA first as basketball.
Oh, the Vulcans.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was short-lived, and I think because, like, I was a freshman, my emotions were high.
Yeah.
So, I was quickly transferred out there, and I came here just in time for volleyball season. Did that for 2 years here. Okay. So I played volleyball my first 2 years here. And then last year I had a change of heart and I was like, you know what? I really missed the game. I'm going to go back, played, and here I am.
Wow.
Here she is.
Senior year. Now, would you be? You wouldn't be able to have an extra year.
No, because I stepped on CalU's campus as a basketball player.
Okay.
And like I practiced, I have like that gone.
Yeah, but you really stepped in. It seemed like you didn't miss a beat last year when you stepped back in on the floor.
I know. It was a quick, like, you know, upbeat, but, like, I feel like I had volleyball there because, like, you get that next level of experience and you're like, okay, everything's a lot more fast-paced than high school. So, like, you kind of just, like, glide in and it worked out.
Good. We're talking with Taylor Troutman and Lexi Lance here at halftime of the women's basketball team for LVC. It's 21-0 in favor of Delaware Valley. So what are your expectations for this coming season? Where do you think this team can end up, and what are your goals?
I think with the right mindset, we need a lot of positivity because we are so young, but I feel like that gives us more of a stepping stone for us because everybody's going to be like, oh, they're so young, they can't do this. Like, they're going to make us the underdogs, which I'll be an underdog any day because nobody's going to expect you when you're at the top then.
Yeah.
So I have actually really high goals for us. I think that we can do really well as long as we're all in tune together.
Yep. I think we can make a good run at the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the teams around the conference are probably also, like she said, looking at us like we're the underdogs, but hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We give them a run for their money. We beat two nationally ranked teams last year, so we can do it again this year.
Messiah always the one you look forward to?
Yes.
And I don't know. I have a Albright now. We've got
Albright
some
too,
beat
yeah.
with. Now that they're pretty good. So
I think everyone's going to be a challenge this year, but I think that definitely Messiah and Albright are our top challengers right now, and we're pretty excited. Like, we're just like, okay, like, this is for Messiah. Like, Messiah's not doing
this. 6 a.m.
Yeah. We're always like, oh, Messiah's not doing this. Messiah's not doing that. Maybe they are, but we like to tell ourselves that.
And your former teammate, Kylie Chaklos, now an assistant coach.
You thought
I was looking back here.
Yeah, like, she here.
She's going to be an assistant.
Yes.
Coach Chaklos.
Yep.
Happy to have her.
Yeah. I think that's also a really nice aspect that we, like, have a former teammate, but, like, we have those boundary lines now that we need to make, and she understands us, so it'll make things flow a lot easier.
Yeah, it was nice having, like, when Caitlin Bach was with us, so with the transition, with her having our assistant coaching spot, that was awesome. So now Kylie taking over.
Yeah.
So good, and Kylie will do really well. She'll be a great basketball coach.
Good. Well, I'm so glad you girls were able to stop by here for a few minutes and spend some time with the LVC listeners out there, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you hopefully many more times during the season, seeing around the court.
We'll
You'll have us here from October to March, boys.
Yeah, we'll be 6 months. Can't miss us.
Taylor Troutman and Lexi Lance with us at halftime of the women's basketball team. It's 21-0. Delaware Valley leading LVC. Girls, thanks so much, and enjoy some of the buffet spread up here.
Yeah,
I can never do food. Thank
right,
you.
Very good.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley.
LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Welcome back here at halftime here to Arnold Field. Brian Kaiser with you here on the halftime show. LVC down to Delaware Valley at halftime, 21-0. Let's take a look at the scoreboard across the MAC. Other games going on. FDU Florham jumped out to a 19-0 lead on Wilkes. And that game has gotten closer at halftime. It is now FDU Florham 19, Wilkes 14. FDU quarterback Jagger Green has a touchdown run and two touchdown passes to go along with 218 yards passing in the first half. Ryan Daly, the Wilkes quarterback, has a couple of touchdown passes and 178 yards passing as their comeback is on, down by five at halftime. Stevenson, still unbeaten on the season. They will be after today, too. They've held Misericordia to 39 yards of offense in the first half, and they've scored 38 points on Misericordia. 38-0 Mustangs at half. Albright also with a shutout right now. They've held the explosive Kings offense to 67 yards. Their quarterback, Vignola, 161 yards and two touchdowns in the first half. They lead Kings 17-0 at home. And late second quarter, Widener and Lycoming are tied at 7 apiece. Let's take a look at our stats for this game. Delaware Valley in the first half, very balanced team, 144 yards running, 117 yards passing, 261 yards of total offense. They have possession time right now, actually are 14 minutes and 40 seconds compared to 15 minutes and 20 seconds for LVC. Third down conversions of 4 of 7 in the first half and 2 for 2 in their trips into the red zone. For LVC, 67 yards rushing, 48 yards passing, 115 yards of total offense, so lagging 150 yards behind the team that's ahead right now. Just 1 for 7 on third down conversions in the game, and LVC has the game's only turnover, that being an interception in the first half. Let's take a look at the Aggie stats. Devontae Ellis, 8 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. Deshaun Darden has 6 carries for 25 yards and a touchdown. It was Cleveland with 5 carries for 23 yards. Tyler Bing with 3 carries for 12 yards. Deshaun Darden was 6 for 13 in the first half, 117 yards, and a touchdown. He was sacked one time. Michael Jensen had 2 of the catches for 42. Eric Shorter had 2 of the catches for 25 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Bing, a 39-yard catch. Marquise Ellis had a catch for 11 yards in half number 1. 3 guys with 5 tackles apiece in the first half for the Aggies D, Frank Law, Nick Degatti, and T.J. Waters, all linebackers for this team, standing tall in the first half for Delaware Valley University. For Lebanon Valley College, Brendan Irving, 10 carries in the first half, only 25 yards of total offense in half number 1. Tim Peroni, 5 carries for 22 yards, but has since been benched. Ryan Fink, 2 carries for 11 yards. Evan Lysak, 1 for 5. And also another carry there for Derek Robinson of 3 yards. Tim Peroni in the first half was 3 of 8, 27 yards, 1 interception. Tyler Cottle came in, 3 for 7, 21 yards. Travis Saylor, the leading receiver for LVC, 2 catches for 26 yards. Michael Gavel, 2 for 17. Patrick Clark, 1 for 8. And Ryan Fink had a catch for minus 3 on a shovel pass. Probably the star of the first half in many ways for LVC was Spencer Moser, the punter. 38.4 yards per punt, dropped 2 of the 4 inside the 20-yard line. Tackling, Moser also is the leading tackler, as he is on the season for this team. 6 tackles in the first half. Kyle Murray also with 6 tackles in the first half. Tommy Gallagher, Tommy Garner, 4 and 3 tackles apiece for them. The one sack in the first half for LVC was by defensive tackle Trent Dolan. So our score at the half, 21-0 in Delaware Valley. Recapping the scoring, Delaware Valley, with 8:23 left to go in the first quarter, scored on a short field after an LVC punt was returned back to the LVC 40-yard line. Eric Shorter taking a 10-yard touchdown reception from Deshaun Darden. Extra point from Nick Restreno was good, 7-0 Del Valley. They scored again with 7.5 minutes left to go in the second quarter as Devontae Ellis busted a run off left tackle 44 yards to the end zone. It capped a four-play 80-yard drive and made it 14-0. They would score again before halftime with 49 seconds left to go in the half. Deshaun Darden, a 2-yard touchdown run, capping an 8-play 77-yard drive. It took 3 minutes and 2 seconds before halftime, giving us a halftime score of 21-0. We're going to step out for a quick break. When we come back, in 1 minute, second half kickoff. Coming up here, it's Delaware Valley 21, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back with the second half in a minute on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu. Welcome back. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you as we start the second half. And it's LVC receiving the football. And the Flying Dutchman trailing 21-0.
They open up that window. I noticed one thing, though, John, and this is the, you know, the thing that happens when you have a team that's trailing at halftime 21-0, and the weather is not wonderful. Hey, just take that thing out.
There we go.
There you go.
Just wouldn't lift up.
But we've seen a few less individuals, at least in front of us, and maybe in areas where they can guard themselves a little bit better from the rain.
Connor Winn at quarterback. He's going to hand it off up the middle. Irving makes a nice cut to the right side of the 35 to the 40. Gets outside the 45. Hit from behind the 50. Goes out of bounds in Delaware Valley territory. It is a first down, LVC, at the 47 of Delaware Valley.
Brendan Irving, 25 yards rushing in the first half. And on that play itself, went for 23. So immediately they find a play that, you know, they looked at things at halftime. So what do we think we can run? And they found that play, just a little bit of misdirection on the inside, a good cut to the outside, and able to outrun the second level.
Sailor is split on the near side, backs in the eye. Fink is the deep back, but they'll give to the fullback, Lysik. He will push to the 46. It's a gain of only a yard on first down, brings up second and 9.
That gives Irving a chance to, after the long run, to get his breath, get back out there on the field now on the second down play. I'd like to see, we've seen Brendan Irving, John, in the last 3 years. He's shown himself to have pretty decent hands. I'd love to see him, them try to use him in the passing game. Maybe get him on the edge a little bit more and just dump the ball off to him out of the backfield.
Second and 9, Cotto under center, backs in the eye with Irving, the deep back. He'll hand it to Irving, going to the left side, gets out around the 45, finds a hole at the 40, still standing, has the first, has the football stripped, loose down around the 28-yard line, it looks like Delaware Valley recovers it. It's out at the 28. They have not signaled it's still Valley ball, but everybody is acting like
they got it. It was recovered for sure.
At the 29, they're going to mark it down.
Take a look at who
that was. A great run by Irving.
It was a great run.
He had it ripped.
At the very end of that play, they grabbed a hold of him up high, and he's actually the one who's a little late getting up.
So he had the first down, and as he was being tackled, someone came in and did a nice job at ball tackling and caused the turnover. Doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you get the ball, and unfortunately they did.
You got a guy running free, and your defensive priorities change. If you can get a chance to bring him down, that's fine. If you can't get a clean shot to try to bring a ball carrier down, that's when you go for the football. And they just had somebody come in and just come from the backside of that play. I think Irving's going to be fine. He just got grabbed from one side and then the ball from the other side. I think as he absorbed the hit from one side, somebody came in at exactly the same moment on the other side and was able to strip it free.
So a bad break for LVC. Quick out of the gates here in the second half, and they turned the football over.
It's encouraging, though, John, the fact that they were able to find some quick running plays here that are working, and maybe if they can get a quick stop, they can get right back to that momentum.
Darden in the shotgun. He's got Cleveland to his left, and already somebody jumping offside.
Jaron McBride was the guy who forced that fumble. T.J. Waters gets the recovery for Delaware Valley.
It was Dan Allen jumping offside. Marking it back five. And Hill Valley has it at its own 24. First and 15. They've got Bing lined up wide on the near side with a slot. Right and left. And Cleveland back there next to Darden. From the shotgun. First and 15. Darden's going to hand it off. Cleveland going to the right side. 25-30. Cuts toward the middle at the 35. And knocked down at the 37-yard line, a couple yards shy of the first.
So important for that defensive line to not allow any sort of edge to get to anybody to get to the edge. And you had Wyatt McLeod. Here's a young kid who is going to get better and better, freshman out of Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, and a kid that they already trust to be a starter on this team. He's over on that left edge, and he gets sucked into the inside. That allows Cleveland to get out to the outside, bounce it, and pick up a very nice game.
Second down and three. They'll give it off to Ellis from the backfield. He'll get up to the 38, just a yard shy of the first. It'll bring up a third down and one.
Oh, it's interesting here, too, John. They pick up this first down. It's one thing. If they don't pick it up here third down and one, it would not surprise me if Duke Greco would have them go for it here. That's sort of the type of coach he is, a very confident individual, thinks his running game is tops in the entire conference, is going to play it that way if he needs to.
Darden lines up under center. They go to Ellis up the middle, has the first, and gets tripped up crossing the line of scrimmage, but he has the first up at the 45-yard line.
I'm going to bring up a bad memory for you. That play sort of looked like Super Bowl 17. John Riggins, short yardage, coming over to that left side.
All right.
And well, but because with everybody up close to the line of scrimmage.
And no Dolphin was near him.
That's true. And almost no Dutchman, but fortunately somebody got his ankle.
First down and 10 from their own 45. This time they'll go Cleveland trying to bounce it outside. Gets across midfield, still standing at the 45, and has a first down at the 42. Make that the 43 of LVC.
They're having a lot of success around that right side. And that's where their one senior tackle is, that being Luke Boonstra. 6'4", 250 pounds. You look at this offensive line, the only guy who has huge size as far as, you know, weight is the right guard, the 300-pounder John Walsh. But these guys are strong, and they are doing an excellent job, and they show how balanced they are as a team.
Shorter lines up wide on the near side. They've got a slot to the right. Shotgun again, handoff. Cleveland trying to go left side, and he'll be dropped right at the line of scrimmage by Garner.
Yeah, Tommy Garner. The outside linebacker, he's a guy who they really are looking to make plays in that defense. They also moved Tom Gallagher out to the more of an outside backer, brought Alex Trujillo in the middle for the same reason. They want those two guys to have a little bit more freedom in terms of being able to roam a little bit and make plays. That's what they need out of this defense right now. They need guys who are up there, who can make plays, impact plays, and stop drives.
Second and 10 at the 44 of LVC. Slot to the right side. Darden in the pocket, throwing deep down the right side. Has a man open. It's complete. Did he hold on down to the one-yard line? He did. It will be a first and goal to go at the one. And that was Marquise Ellis.
He outruns Gilger, the corner on the side. But Gilger knows he's got coverage help from the safety, but Kyle Murray late reacting on that one, did not get over there quite in time, and the ball though was perfectly thrown. Yeah. When Murray got there, he broke, and he got there, that pass had to be perfectly thrown. It was. Darden found Ellis in stride, and now the Aggies knocking on the door again.
So first and goal at the one. They go to Cleveland on the right side, and he is in for the touchdown. 1 yard touchdown run for Robert Cleveland, and it makes our score 27-0 Delaware Valley.
Cleveland rocks right into the end zone, and LVC finds themselves down now 27-0. We knew coming in this was going to be a game where a lot of things had to go right for the Flying Dutchman. The defense had to find ways to get off the field. The offense had to get some sort of rhythm and some balance. None of that has happened so far, and that's why you have a big deficit.
Extra point kick coming up for Nick Restaino as they will line it up. Light rain falling here in Anvil. The hold and the kick is blocked by LVC. Still loose on the carpet, but that doesn't mean anything. We will step out. 10:32 to go. Third quarter. Delaware Valley 27. Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
Welcome back to Anvil. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser. Glad to have you along. 27-0 now. Delaware Valley raining on LVC's parade.
There's a parade?
Well, next week maybe.
Yeah, maybe next week. It's a good thing this isn't homecoming because this would not be a very...
It doesn't get any easier next week, though, either.
I know, but still, you got an Aggies team that came in here this week coming off of a loss to Albright in a game where they actually outplayed them but couldn't put them away, and Albright scored a late touchdown to beat them. Not the best scenario.
Gavel takes a kickoff from the 10 up to the 20 to the near side. 25, 30, he's got room to run. Cuts to the middle at the 40, to the 45. Tackled up at the 46-yard line. Nice return, about 36 yards by Michael Gavel.
That's a little bit of a spark now. Let's see if they can build on that. They get the block on the extra point by Dylan Lobach, and now Gavel with a very good return. I think that may be the best return of a kick so far this year for
LVC.
But
as we've seen in this game, Brian, there have been different times where LVC's gotten the breaks, gotten the good field position, did something great, and then turns around and does something wrong.
When your offense has fizzled, it's very difficult to make anything continue. There's no continuity right now in what they're able to do offensively.
From their own 47, Cottle in a quarterback. Play action, rolling left, looking. Throws the out far side, and it's picked off down that far side for Delaware Valley, and it's Sammy Moore taking it all the way for a touchdown. We had talked about Cottle throwing off that back foot, and right there rolling out to the far side, and he lofted one out again.
This time it cost him.
Yep.
We have an injured LVC player behind the play, too, over here at the 40-yard line who got laid out on a block. That was everything that could go wrong on that play, where Cottle rolls, and he never squares his shoulders to throw the football. And as he throws the ball, because he doesn't square the shoulders, the ball flutters a little bit. It doesn't go out as solidly as it needed to go out there. So it hangs. And now you have a defensive back who sees that. This is the wrong team to throw passes like that, because comes in, here comes Coach right across, and Sammy Moore makes that pick.
I'm not sure what they're going to tell me. What are you going to call this, about a 60-yarder on the return?
Yeah, I think it was right around the 41-yard line. I just wanted to watch
it. Okay.
But yeah, it was 60
or 60 plus. Fantastic. Checking out the replay here just to see what we got on that return.
View again in horror as LVC has this get even worse.
Tom Clement, the sports information director here at LVC.
The concern now is with LVC as far as the injured player over on the far side. So many times what you see on an interception return, those defensive guys just set up, all right, it's time for us to turn into blockers, and they will take guys out.
Who aren't expecting it.
Exactly. It's all of a sudden, they know that there's a turnover, and maybe the guy who they're about to go block hasn't quite figured it out yet, and by the time they do, they find themselves on the turf like LVC has right now.
So as we mentioned, as I mentioned, you know, you get good field position, and then something bad seems to happen, yeah. Turn of events, and right there.
Yeah, a couple bad things happen here.
Cottle getting picked off and an injured player as Delaware Valley has opened this one up now to a 33-0 lead. We'll take a 30-second timeout, come back. 33-0, Delaware Valley with 10-12 to go in the third. Back after this on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Wigan Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, WiganBuckle.com. Nothing Delaware Valley leading Lebanon Valley College. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you. An interception by Sammy Moore for the Aggies.
And the injured LVC player is right guard Anthony Sorbin, who went out early in the first half with an ankle issue for LVC, came back in the game, and this time he is walking off the field again under his own power. I have a feeling he's not going to be going back in the game, though.
No. So the extra point coming up, even though the last one got blocked, they're not going to go for two. They'll go for the extra point kick. And this one is on the way, and this time it's good by Rostino. We'll keep it right here and maybe check some of the out-of-town scores. Did we get the official amount of yardage on that interception? Check that out as well. 34-0, Delaware Valley leading.
Hey, how about some scores around the area?
Let's do that.
Let's start with Stevenson still leading Misericordia 38-0. So Stevenson's going to remain unbeaten on the season, and Misericordia is going to remain Misericordia. FDU Florham and Wilkes. We said FDU Florham jumped out early 19-0. Got it close to 19-14. FDU Florham. The third touchdown pass of the game by Jagger Green. This one to Eshawn Mobley of 37 yards. And FDU Florham now has a 26-14 advantage. Lycoming and Widener knotted up at 7. They're at halftime, and that game started a half an hour behind everybody else because Lycoming occasionally will start games at 1:30. And the remaining game, Albright and Kings. Kings finally gets on the board, but they were already down 24-0 at that point. So 24-7, Albright leading Kings. And that is with about 6 minutes left to go in the third.
Kickoff, Delaware Valley once again taking around the 11-yard line. This time Gavel's going to take it to the far side up across the 20, the 25, and tackled near the 28-yard line. And the offense will come onto the field again for the Flying Dutchman.
I'm going to be nice about this, John. This game now, the result of it, is not in doubt.
Right.
LVC is probably not coming back to win this game. The first thing now you have to look at is we now have to figure out what we have for the rest of the season. Is Tyler Cottle going to be a quarterback that we can use the rest of the season? Do we have to go back to Peroni? Or do we have to see if somebody else is out there that we're going to use? Regardless, this now becomes a dress rehearsal for Mr. Cottle.
Slot to the near side. Connell rolling right this time. He'll throw near side. That is going to be complete to Cramp, and he will be close to the first down. And Connell obviously stronger throwing, rolling to the right. We've seen him in this game.
And he's one, too, with his mechanics,
right,
where they still have to do some things with his mechanics, especially when he goes the opposite way. But that's why when you roll him, I think you have to be conscious of that. You have to be really aware that he is much more comfortable throwing to that right side. You have some quarterbacks who are, I think Peroni can go either way and does a good job with the mechanics in what he does. Just doesn't have the strong arm that Cottle does. It's a guy who's 6'6". You got to use his strengths.
First and 10 from their own 39. Slot to the far side. Someone lifted up along the right side of the offensive line. I want to say
Lee Amorous, right tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting that he's getting a lot of snaps here in place of Bob Van Horn. They they have not been able to settle on who is going to take the more of the majority of the snaps there at right tackle this season, as Van Horn and Amoros have pretty much alternated back and forth. Van Horn got elevated to the starting lineup this week, but it's been Amoros who's actually taken more of the snaps in this game.
Well, it marks them back five more. First and 15 from their own 34 in the eye. It's Irving up the middle. Nowhere to go once again. You can just see he's coming to a stop himself. Yeah. He's not trying to run over anyone. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Fink, not Irving. And he had nowhere to go.
Yeah, he breaks down right in the hole, and he's looking for somewhere to cut. There's nowhere to cut. So as soon as you do that, you've got absolutely no momentum anymore, so it's not like you're going to force your way forward. So you've got to make a choice before you get to that spot. Either you're going to run over somebody or you're going to have a cutback lane. He had neither.
Second down and 13. Cuttle, shotgun, throws far side, incomplete. He was looking for the tight end. And we have not seen, maybe we did see him in the first game of the season, Caccini.
Yeah, it's been a while, though.
Yeah, and, I think first game against FNM we saw him.
You know, but he's a guy that we've seen in the past, too. He's somebody who, you know, they like what they have at tight end. They have Berbrick, Manning, and Clark. They'll use it in receiving situations. But Caccini is somebody that they also have had high hopes for as well. So you may see him get some more snaps.
This time, Cottle's going to roll the left. He's going to keep it and run it. He's up to the 45, the 47. Not enough, though, for the first down. He'll be just a yard shy near midfield. What do you do here, Brian? You might as well go for it. You're down 34-0.
I know I go for it here because what's it hurt? You're down 34-0.
Yeah.
You got a fourth down and one. And, again, we're looking for some sort of thing right now to start building on in a positive way for your offense. There has not been much of anything to build positively on in this game. So, yeah, go for it here. You don't make it, you're still down 34-0 anyways.
Fourth and one, LVC from its own 48-yard line. Sailor and Gavel on that left side slot. Backs in the eye. Cottle back to pass. He throws. Gavel catches it and has the first going out of bounds at the 49 of Delaware Valley.
Fourth down and one. They throw the football. That's an impressive, that's a more gutsy play call. It's easier to be gutsy when the result of the game is no longer as much in the balance, but still, the fact that they would throw it there on fourth down and one, maybe we're seeing the playbook opened up a little bit more.
First and 10 at the 49 of Delaware Valley. Shotgun, Cottle. He's going to roll to the right. He's getting pressure. Has nowhere to go, and he's going to slip down back at the 42-yard line. He wanted to run right, but he was separated and had no blocking and had defenders on both his right and left side.
Well, somebody's got to block Nick Negati.
Yeah.
And Negati came in, wasn't even touched. And that's just as good as the last play was to see. You have a play like that, they pick up a first down, and now you go right backwards because the offensive line allows a linebacker to slip in without even getting a touch on it. You know that you have got to make sure you slow somebody down. Whatever you do to do it, to slow them down, you've got to take care of that, and Cottle had no chance.
Second down and long, they're going to hand it off, and this time Fink has nowhere to run, and they keep going backwards. He's going to lose three more yards. Running game doing absolutely nothing in this one.
It hasn't been good. They had the two carries to start the second half for Irving, but when he fumbled the second one, that was about all we've seen positively from this running game. This offensive line is not gelling the way that we had hoped coming into this season.
Third down and 21, back of their own 40. Wide right and left, backs in the eye with Cottle under center. Back to pass, rolling right, throws the out near side, incomplete. Gavel couldn't pull it in. It wouldn't have been enough, but still would have had him across midfield to go for it on fourth. And now the punting unit comes in. Clock at 5:49 to play here in the third. It's 34-0, Delaware Valley, a team that we have never seen success against this team except for a few seasons ago.
It was 1 year, and it was the 1 year that when you had success against them, what happens? I mean, you win the game in overtime, and mean, that was such an exciting game. We can talk about that after this play.
Here's Moser's punt, high, a little wobbly to the near side. Shorter's going to grab it at the 22, and the gunner, Schumacher, gets down there and takes him out.
Now, that one time, Schumacher, he did a tremendous job of getting down to the field. But that game a few years ago, the one victory that we can go back to.
Yeah, that was fun.
A very memorable game down at Delaware Valley. A game where LVC had that game in hand, 31-24. They had the advantage in that one, and the phantom time that was put on the clock, the Aggie clock, for a pass play where they were down in the red zone, and somehow they were able to run a full pass pattern into the end zone, throw an incomplete pass in less than 4 seconds.
Everyone remembers it well, but LVC got the last laugh winning that game. Piece of the MAC title.
Yep, and the Aggies on during the overtime after they scored the touchdown end up attempting a field goal and missing it. LVC was able to get the Sean Fackety field goal to win the game.
Offsetting penalties. And then the hold against Del Valle.
That's the one time.
Yeah. That's
other than that, has not been a positive experience playing Delaware Valley.
And I can still feel my stomach knot up thinking back to, what was it, 2006 or 7 when they were up by 18 late in the game. And
I got time. I can look it up for you.
That's all right. The pain. You're trying to bring back painful memories.
This is painful enough, John. This is 34-0. I mean, we might as well remember times where we had close calls. This is not close right now.
All right, Delaware Valley takes over, first and 10, at its own 11-yard line. Banks.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
Welcome back. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser. Injured LVC player is Moser. Had a brief drop out there for a radio audience. Glad to have those of you watching high and dry in your living room or in your office on LVC TV at GoDutchman.com. Second down and 2. Delaware Valley at its own 18. Slot to the right side, being in motion. They'll give it up the middle. Ellis breaks one tackle. Up to the 25-30, 35-40. Yetter's on the chase, but will he catch him at the 30, the 20, the 10, 5, touchdown. 82-yard touchdown run. Devontae Ellis does it again.
We got a flag somewhere, maybe. Hold the phone here is behind the play. We got the head referee at the other end. Trying to blow this one dead.
I don't see any yellow flag anywhere.
I don't either. If it is, it would negate one heck of a run from Ellis.
Sure would. I got to talk about it.
Did you see something? Really?
The only thing I can think of was did LVC try to call a timeout before the play got started? Just a sideline violation. warning against LVC, all that chat just for that.
Wow.
Really?
Thanks, guys.
By the way, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a touchdown. Yards, yeah. And 82 yards, and Devontae Ellis is having himself one heck of a game.
And I agree with your comments earlier.
Yeah.
This guy's a feature back. I'm surprised he's not being used more.
And Cleveland is a good player. And I don't want to take anything away from Cleveland
good
at all.
Spot back in this case.
Yes. You've got a guy who is a potential stud at tailback, and he's sharing carries right now.
Extra point kick is good. We'll step out. 5:06 to play in the third. It's turning into a rout. Delaware Valley 41, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
Delaware Valley keeping a foot to the pedal. 41-0 now on LVC.
And that most recent drive capped off by an 82-yard touchdown run from Devontae Ellis, his second of the game. Ellis on the contest, 12 carries, 184 yards rushing. Technically, he wouldn't have to be done. Hopefully for LVC, he is.
Kickoff coming up right to left. This one booted end over end. Gavel will take it at the 15. To the near hash at the 20, the 25 following the blocks across the 30, and tackled up around the 31-32-yard line.
And, John, coming into this game, Devontae Ellis, the 6'1 junior, had 171 yards on 43 carries checking into this contest, and he has already exceeded that season-long total here this afternoon. It's been a tremendous game for him, but, I mean, it's been a game where the Aggies pretty much in the first half, the defense was able to at least stymie them for a little while. But the ineffectiveness of the offense, the inability to sustain drives and to allow the defense to stay off the field for any extended time has caught up to them.
First down, Cottle's going to hand it off to Fink, going to the left side, trying to get out around, and we'll get maybe a yard, if that, on the carry. This Delaware Valley defense has done a great job against the run today.
But they're one of the top teams in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that statistically, the game last week against Albright, I mean, they even won that game statistically. They just didn't win it on the scoreboard. But this is the number two rush defense in the conference, the number one overall defense, the number one scoring defense in the conference. They don't allow much, so it's very difficult to move.
Hand off this time going to the right side again. Fink has nowhere to run. Just immediately wrapped up by Frank Law, who lays down the law.
It's
loss of a yard.
And again, the bad news for folks in the conference right now, when you take a look at this team, outside of the nose guard and one linebacker, all these guys are potentially back next year.
Huh.
I mean, this team is extremely young on both sides of the ball.
Third and 10. They'll go with a slot to the far side, but backs are in the eye. They have no one wide on the near side. Back to pass, Cottle. Throwing, complete, gavel, first down, all the way up to the 46.
And that's some good poise there from Cottle. He had his man open, squared his shoulders just enough, and was able to float that ball in there to an open Michael Gavel.
He slipped a little bit. He lost his balance briefly after taking the snap.
And that's why it shows good poise there, because he almost loses his balance, could have gone down with the slick field, but continued working the play, saw his open receiver, and reassumed his control.
They'll go Gavel and Sailor again with a right side slot, first and 10, from their own 46. Backs in the eye, up the middle. It's going to be Fink, big hole across midfield, first down inside the 45 to the 42-yard line. But we have seen this throughout the game where LVC will get a little drive going, get some success, and then stall out or turn it over.
Must be able to sustain drives. It's one thing to start them. It's another one to keep them going. And this is the place where LVC has got to improve. Their ability to continue picking up good chunks of yardage consistently on first downs.
Slide again with Gavel and Saylor. Again, they'll go Fink up the middle. Big hole at the 40, 35, 30. And another first down at the 28-yard line of Delaware Valley.
And just exploiting the middle of the field. They just went right past Devontae Ford, who is every bit of 330. The guy who backs him up, 350 pounds.
Oh.
It doesn't matter who they put in there. I mean, big guys in the middle for Delaware Valley at the nose tackle position.
2:15 to play in the third quarter. First and 10 LVC at the 28. Action AI, play action. Cottle rolling right, throws the out. Gavel will catch it at the 18-yard line of Delaware Valley.
And that's a pass, John, that Tyler Cottle can throw that I don't know that Tim Peroni is able to get that out there just because of the arm strength necessary to throw that ball on the run into a very tight window. There's some things, and this is going to be the tough call for this coaching staff this weekend, and Coach Beeler will ultimately have the decision. But each quarterback has strengths. Each quarterback has weaknesses. Which one allows you the better chance to win games?
First down, Fink again up the middle, following the blocking. Will spin his way to the 15. Now they're only going to spot him to the 16, so it will be a gain of only 2 on the carry. Brings up second and 8 with a minute 35 to go in the third.
And you want to get that goose egg off the board more than anything else right now. Get that 0 off the scoreboard. Give yourself at least something offensively that you can look back at and say, okay, guys, against a tough defense, we were able to punch one in. This is a very important drive, I think, mentally for this team more than anything else.
Second and 8 with a slot to the far side for the Flying Dutchman. Cottle's going to roll to the right side. Stops, looking. Now gets a block, fakes it, and then throws it at the last second. Incomplete. Surprised he didn't just try to run it out of bounds, but he probably would have lost a couple yards. So
would have been about the same play as he decided to get rid of the football. And regardless of what it was, there was nothing there, and I thought he did a good job not forcing the ball into coverage down the field. There was very good coverage that saw three different receivers, and each one was blanketed by very good coverage from Delaware Valley.
1 minute to play in the third. Third down and 8 at the 16. Salerno is the tailback this time, and it's Salerno with the carry, and he gets tripped up at the 15-yard line. It'll bring up a fourth down and 7. No field goal in their mind. They're going to go for it. They'll bring Baxter in. They'll bring Clark in, the big tight end, and Fink.
Field goal here gets the 0 off the scoreboard, but it does nothing for your psyche at all.
No. Yeah, let's see what they do. They'll put Saylor and Baxter and Gavel in that left side trips. And Clark's going to line up as the right tight end. Fink to the left of Cottle. He'll roll to the left, looking. Looking. Now Tux tries to run and will be tackled near the 10, shy of the first down.
Now he thought he saw enough of a crease to get forward. His receivers, none of them were able to break free of coverage. That also is a play with a quarterback with a little bit more experience. That's when you have to force into coverage probably. You try to throw it in a place where a receiver can make a play because it's going to be tough for you to run that far for the first down against a quick defense.
We remind you, we're home again next week. Homecoming here at LVC. Log on to lvc.edu. See all of the lists and schedules of all the events for next week's homecoming. And we hope to see you here in Anvil. First and 10, Delaware Valley takes over at its own 11-yard line. They've got a new quarterback into the game. That's going to be Dolo. And we've got flags thrown on the first down.
Vian Dolo, a 5'11 sophomore. You figure he'll have some more time to get snaps this season, as good as this team is. 6 for 9, 40 yards in his appearances so far this season. Deshaun Darden, goes out of the game. He's had a pretty efficient day, at least as far as what he's needed to do. 6 carries for 25 yards and a touchdown, and also 7 for 14, 160 yards and a touchdown. No interceptions, no turnovers so far for the Aggies.
So the penalty against Del Valle offside. They'll mark it back 5, and it'll bring up a 1st and 15 at the 16, or rather the 6-yard line.
John Wilkes has taken the lead on FDU for him. A Kevin Gattuso fumble return for a touchdown gives a 28-26 Wilkes advantage as they are still late in the third.
We've played 3 in Anvil. We'll step out. Delaware Valley 41, LVC nothing. Back with the fourth quarter in 60 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
Back in Anvil, where now the rain is coming down hard once again. And it is a 1st and 15 for Delaware Valley from their own 6. Anuski in motion, but they're going to hand it off up the middle. It'll be a gain of just a few yards. And let's see who got it this time.
You figure that out. Let me give you some stats right now. LVC running the football 144 yards, passing the football 85 yards, 229 yards of total offense. Delaware Valley, 267 yards rushing, 160 yards passing, 427 yards of total offense through three quarters of play.
I believe it was Woodard on that carry, his first touch in this game. This time, Dolo back to pass, scrambling, rolling left, breaks one tackle, flags thrown, and he'll be sacked around the 5-yard line. So I think we're going to get a hold and try to move him back even further.
No need. As
yep, they'll decline it.
Tyler Conlin over there on the stop. Austin McGuire was also around the football, too.
Brings up a 3rd down and 15, back around the 6.
Talked about that FDU Florham Wilkes game. No problem with the close game with Stevenson Misericordia. That one's 48-0 Stevenson. Their running backs have 4 touchdowns already, and each one of them is over 100 yards. All right now up on Kings, 27-7.
Tolo with the quarterback draw, trying to take it back up the middle, and he will just make it back to the line of scrimmage, maybe even lose a yard. So the punting unit comes in for Delaware Valley.
One other game to bring up is the Widener-Lycoming game. Those teams continue to fight it out at this point. It's 7-7 about midway through the third quarter in that game. And in the Ryder Cup, the United States still up 6.5 to 5.5 after a quick start. Europe has come back, and they are currently in the afternoon four balls. I'll try to keep you updated on that.
Thanks, Brian. Anyone putting in there for McElroy? Here's a punt for Restaino, and Schumacher drops it, picks it up near midfield, and then is tackled around the 46 of Delaware Valley, and a flag also thrown in that pile.
McElroy seems like he's doing fine for himself all of a sudden because...
Did you see that there the other
day? Oh, yeah. It was great.
$100 and the guy comes out and sinks a putt.
Sinks the putt and...
He was heckling him, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was heckling. And what he basically said, even I could make that putt. So they called him on it. They heard him say that. They brought him out. And they even put a $100 bill next to the ball as he was about to putt it. And he got up there. And I believe the quote was, "I swallowed my own puke and knocked it in."
Yeah.
That, I know the "swallowed my own puke" was definitely part of the quote. So,
he nailed it.
Celebrity, he had his 15 seconds, and now he has $100 that he probably is not ever going to want to actually use to pay anything because it's the memento of the moment.
Cotto back in there taking over at his own 43-yard line. A penalty to LVC. Salerno gets the carry, and Salerno will get back to the line of scrimmage at the 43-yard line. Clock ticking under 13 minutes now. Remaining in the game, 41-0 Delaware Valley, and the rain coming down steady.
This clock cannot move fast enough, John.
No.
This just has not been the day for LVC, and you're going to have days like this, and the offense has just found nothing.
Second down, Cottle again, this time going to Fink, right side, gets across the 45, dives across midfield to the 49 of Delaware Valley.
And Widener's next week. And
then a week break.
Exactly. We looked at this schedule coming in, and I was concerned.
Yeah.
Because it's a very tough conference, and the three teams, along with Albright, who are considered the front runners, were all on the front part of the schedule. And then you had F&M, who has one of their better teams in years. So you're already looking at four really tough games in the first six, and we're seeing the results of that.
Third down and two at the 49 of Delaware Valley. It's going to be Fink trying to spin and backpedal. He'll have the first down to the 47 of Delaware Valley.
When you come back from the break, though, you have that week off. The first game is against Lycoming, who is not as good as what they've been in recent seasons so far based on the results. Ms. Ricordi is still on the schedule. You have FDU Florham, and then you end up with Albright. So you still have the opportunity to at least make something positive out of this season. It just depends where this team is after this game. I think next week's game against Widener, win or lose, is going to say a lot about what this team's going to be capable of after they come back from that bye week.
Here's Fink on first down. Gets inside the 45 to the 44, maybe the 43. Yeah, okay, give him 4 yards on the run. They'll keep the clock ticking. Keep it in the middle and...
please.
Yeah.
I think both teams at this point just want to finish this thing off, get off the field.
Wrap it up.
Yep. Stay as healthy as possible,
yeah,
too.
That's a big key. Keen is out there along with Cramp, left side in the slot. Second and six. Cottle's going to stretch it over to the left side, and Fink trying to get out around, gets inside the 40. To the 39, make it the 38, be about a yard or two shy of the first. Brings up a third and one.
And again, a chance on this drive to try to not just work clock, but also in order for LVC right now to try to get that goose egg off the board. Try to get something finally in the end zone. Yeah, you're playing against some of the backups right now, but still, it gives you a little bit of something. It gives you a little bit of rhythm offensively. It gives you something to look back and say, look, we were actually able to move the ball on this team at some point in this game.
Third and one. Fink, the deep back, gets the carry, trying to go outside left. Flags are thrown, has the first down. And it'll most likely come back again. The umpire throwing the flag on this one. 9:52 to go in the fourth, 41-0, Delaware Valley. Big difference in this game. Some big runs by Devontae Ellis.
He's had a great game. But you look at what they've done. The reason that offensively Delaware Valley is able to be as good as they are is because they control the line of scrimmage. They are able to run the football effectively, but it also translates to being able to have time for the quarterback to set things up down the field. Let's not underestimate the speed that this team has either. The reason that Delaware Valley really has come on as a football program is because they have gone out there and they have found some fast players on both sides of the ball that they can use.
Shot block was the call against LVC. It brings it all the way back behind midfield to their own 47. Cottle back to pass, rolling right. Gets rid of it. Far sideline. Complete over there. And that is hauled in by
Corey Keene.
Yeah, Corey Keene.
That's an outstanding play there by Keene because he never lost his concentration. He's over there close to sideline. He's going to bring up a fourth down, but still an excellent job by Keene of running his route, getting his hands up there, and dotting the I's on the sideline. 6'2 senior out of Wilkes-Barre makes the play and at least makes this a manageable fourth down and eight.
Fourth and eight at the 45 of Delaware Valley. They'll put Baxter wide on the near side. They'll go with Zimnick and Keene on the opposite side. Shotgun for Cottle. On fourth down, in the pocket, looking, steps up, getting pressure, unloads it, but he was rushed. He throws it low, incomplete. He had Zimnick heading toward the flats, but couldn't get it to him. And the Delaware Valley defense comes up again and stops this Flying Dutchman offense.
Well, the chop block stopped the drive.
Yeah.
I mean, every time this team has gotten anything at all going offensively in this game, they've made a mistake somewhere to slow them down. And sometimes it's been a turnover. Sometimes it's been a missed block that's caused a loss of yardage on a first down play. Sometimes it's been, a penalty that stymies anything that they have. That's how you stop drives, is by making mental mistakes.
Dolo on first down for the Aggies. Plays it out to the near side. He'll find Allen. He'll pick up several yards across the 50. All the way to the 44-yard line. It's a gain of 9. Brings up a second down and 1.
Cale Brusso, the stop on the play. He's found his way onto the depth chart. The free safety out of Higgins, Pennsylvania.
Second and 1 at the 46. Baxter in the eye with a slot to the far side. This time it's given off to Woodard. And he'll have the first down, and even more as he gets inside the 40 to the 37-yard line.
John, looking at the race in the MAC this season, there's only two teams unbeaten right now in MAC play, Stevenson and Widener. Stevenson winning easily today. They'll be 4-0 in the conference. Widener, though, struggling with Lycoming. Widener 2-0 coming into this game overall. We'll look at the rest of the race after this play.
Woodard again on the carry. Off the right side, inside the 35 to about the 33-yard line. It's a gain of 4, brings up a second down and 6. Clock ticking at 7:32 here in the fourth quarter.
After the unbeaten teams, the other teams that still have really a thought of winning this conference, it would be Delaware Valley, who will be 3-1 after the win today. Kings is going to go down, barring a miraculous comeback, but they were 2-1 in conference, tied with Albright. Albright will stay alive also, as it looks like they're going to win today. And Lycoming, Wilkes, LVC, they are the ones who had one win coming in the conference after one.
One nothing. Delaware Valley leading LVC with 7:03 to go, and penalty's going to mark it back to the 42 against the Aggies.
That Albright Kings game is final now. 27-7, Albright wins, so they move to 3-1 on the season, 4-1 overall. Kings drops to 2-2 in the conference, and 2-3 overall.
Trips, the tight trips on that left side on second down and 14. Handoff up the middle, and another new running back into the game. This time, it's Thomas.
Just rotating everybody at this point.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity to get guys some carries at this level and get into the game on the Saturday afternoon as opposed to the JV games. You want to get as many guys as you can opportunities in those JV games, but sometimes it's just good to give them that reward on a Saturday if you can do it, and that's what Delaware Valley has gotten themselves in a position to do.
Armando Thomas only picks up two, makes it a third and eight. Dolo rolling left, looking, now lobs it out to the far side, enough for the first down at the far side of the field. And they'll move the sticks again as they just keep bringing more guys in.
John Jones.
Not the John Jones who's injured for LVC, obviously.
If it was, then we've got a little bit of an issue here with eligibility.
Right? Yes. Clock ticking at 5:55 in the fourth. First down, Del Valley.
That'd be a quick transfer and probably a record for the NCAA.
They'll line up with a tight trips on the right side once again, first and 10. At the 22, quarterback keeper, Dolo's going to take it to the far side, gets hit around the 20, picks up 2 yards. 41-0. Delaware Valley just putting the points on the board every quarter.
They've been efficient.
Yeah, they have been.
They're everything I expected them to be coming into this game. We knew that LVC was going to have to play at their top level to be competitive in this game, and they just didn't bring it the way that they needed to today. They weren't able to do so, and we've got a lot of answers now, a lot of questions that need answered on the LVC side.
Rain coming down a little bit heavier now. Handoff up the middle once again, Woodard. Woodard picks up about 5 on the play to the 17. Third down and a long 4. This time Dolo will be under center. He'll pitch it out to the right side. Thomas make that... Jones getting outside. Thomas, that was Thomas.
Cale Brusso making another stop defensively for LVC and is able to stop him short of the first down. So a fourth down coming up for the Aggies. About a yard to go.
Yeah, short yard. Kind of interesting, this Aggies uniform, Brian, when they first come out, the way their stripes are and the colors of the uniform almost looks like they've been playing in mud all game.
There's no mud out there, but...
No, they're on artificial turf, but the stripes they have down the side.
They've done well.
Fourth down, Dolo's going to keep it. He's going to have the first. He's at the 10, the 5, touchdown. Delaware Valley. And Dolo put 6 more on the board.
He makes that fake on the outside, and all he had to do on that play, with everybody else thinking the ball was going to go straight up the gut, all he has to do is fake out the end on that left side of the offensive formation, and he was able to fake to the inside. That got the end to go in. He uses his speed to get outside, and another score for the Aggies.
Extra point kick coming up. Restaino in again. Let's this one fly, and it's good. We'll step out. 3:34 to play in the game. Delaware Valley 48. Lebanon Valley, nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Delaware Valley in control, leading at 48-0 on LVC. And you're at the midway point here of the season, Brian. There's some big questions that Joe Beeler's going to have to start asking of his team.
Oh, there's no question, John. Yeah. A performance like this is not what you're expecting or hoping for. You know, it's possible, but it's not one of those things that obviously you're looking for out of your team. What you have to do now is figure out who's going to be able to help us going forward.
Kickoff. This time it'll come to the near side. Panko's going to take it up across the 30 and up near the 38-yard line. So the Flying Dutchman will put the offense back out there one more time. Let's see who they're going to go with this time, because I have the feeling they're going to switch up quarterbacks one more time.
Last shutout for LVC as far as being on the receiving end of a shutout. I remember September 9th, 2008. No, sorry, 2006. 10-0, King's College.
Tyler Sterner is the new quarterback for LVC. Handoff on first down up to the 42-yard line. Sterner out of Southwestern High School down around Hanover.
John, I remember that game because I think that was our first trip to King's. And Danny Kelly was injured that day going in, the quarterback. Couldn't really throw the ball very well. It was a windy day, and it just could not ever find anything offensively in that game. And I think threw an interception at the end of that one. A frustrating game for LVC.
Sterner back to pass, throws near side. That is complete. And Trey Manning will have the first down. And the tight end being grabbed and pushed after the whistle's blew, so they're going to tack a penalty onto it as well.
Yeah, hey, good job by the senior, just continuing to work. You know, this is a time where it really shows your character, too. And this is when they go back and look at the game field and film, and this is going to be a painful look back at the game film, John. But it's something coaches have to do. You look back. Who's going to be able to help us? Who's still working hard at the end of a game? And that's the sort of effort that the coaches want to see. Somebody who has been a starter as recently as last week. Trey Manning, and he gets a lot of snaps with the starting offense anyways because of the two tight end sets he's in there. And here he is in a game where there's less than three minutes left to go, and he's still working hard out there to try to get that goose egg off the board. That's the sort of guy you want to start working around.
2:35 to play. Salerno is the deep back. Sterner, the quarterback, hands it to him. Salerno trying to go to the right side, gets to the 30. Back to the line of scrimmage, no gain on the carry. Light, steady rain falling here at Anvil. Coach Beeler is hoping that maybe, you know, the rainy conditions would play a little bit into their favor with LVC's running game, but Delaware Valley did an outstanding job in this one defensively at shutting that down. Second down and 9 at the 30. Sterner rolling right, looking, throws the out far side, and it is caught but out of bounds by Zimnick, and flags thrown at the line of scrimmage as well.
I think we're going to have an offensive holding penalty against LVC on the offensive line. It's where that was thrown to, at least, as far as the flag is concerned. When you throw it right at the feet of one of the offensive linemen, that's sort of the indication that it happened in that area, and that's the guy you wanted. Let's see if it's 77 on his penalty. Wow.
Yeah. John Wills back, Brian Kaiser. We're back next week, homecoming. Then the bye week, the following week. Yeah, everybody got a break.
I believe they got C.J. Steinhilber, the freshman fullback, with a tripping call.
Huh. Well, now it is second and halfway across the globe. They'll put Salerno deep back, play action. Sterner, he'll lob it incomplete. Looking for another tight end.
Caccini.
Yep. Caccini's been targeted twice in this game.
Been a lot of targets, John. Not necessarily a lot of connections.
Not many bullseyes, yeah. Third down.
It's like playing a game of blindfolded darts so far today. Throwing the ball out there, but not finding many receptive targets.
Slot left, split right. Sterner in the shotgun, in the pocket. He'll throw deep down the left side, and Keen wasn't even looking back. Looked forward, then looked back in and realized the ball was coming toward him, but underthrown and a little inside, couldn't get to it. And fourth down with 1:43 to play. So it looks like they're going to bring in
Adam Domovich.
Yeah, for the punting.
He's the backup punter, lowered off in product. It's a great place to run a fake, John, on fourth down. No, I'm just kidding. They're going to give him a chance.
Why no? What's it going to hurt?
No. Because you're giving your backup punter an actual punt in a game. That's actually more important here than trying to fake down 48 points and on a fourth and 24.
Gets a nice low one away. Taken around the 13-yard line. Flags are thrown way in the back and run back by Inuski up the far sideline. He's got room at the 40. The 30 cuts back to the middle. Still has a lot of blocking, but I think it's all going to come back. And another flag is thrown as Schumacher went down with a player down around the 5-yard line.
Yeah, it's coming back. Illegal block, a hold right off the bat, and that was actually right where the entire play started off. Poor Domovich, though. Here's a guy as a backup punter who does not see action in the games. He punts the ball. It's a low line drive, so it's a returnable kick, which means now all of a sudden he's in danger. He comes back the other way, and as he turns, absolutely gets drilled with a block. And then he goes back to the sideline.
And now the officials are going to draw this one out even longer, talking about it with 1:24 to go.
They probably figure they're already wet. What's it matter if they stay out there a few minutes longer?
I can't understand what's taking them so long.
This isn't hard. It's either a hold or it's not.
Well, but there were two separate flags.
Yeah, but the first one's going to be the one that matters. They just have to figure out what they're actually going to do about the entire situation, whether they can tack on the second one or not. I think it's just an interpretation of what they can do overall with the foul calls here. But the original foul is going to be accepted by LBC.
Not if they ever tell us what it is. They're still talking about it. They call a hold against LVC. Block to the back. He's pointing the wrong way?
Yeah, he's pointing the wrong way. He's saying the return team.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
He's done. John,
He's checked out too.
He's done. Let's do this again.
I have no idea what the call is.
We're going to put it this way. We're punting again. So it's like that last 5 minutes of our life didn't happen.
That's 5 minutes I'll never get back.
Well,
nor will our board ops.
I hate to tell
Harry Groover and Terrence Jefferson.
I hate to tell you this, John. The last 2 hours and 46 seconds are time that we are not going to get back either, but it seems almost wasted today with the result that's going to come out of this game.
Well, this time, Domovich might want to just consider punting it out of bounds. All that for nothing. The fans were even groaning. I even heard of the cheerleaders groaning. They went out of here, too. Their pom-poms are getting wet.
It's time.
All right, Domovich is standing at his own 42-yard line. Plenty of time again. High, wobbly. This time, Inuski gets out of the way, lets it bounce, and it goes all the way down into the end zone.
Let's have two knees and get out of here, folks.
Please. I know you got all your timeouts. I don't think you need to use them.
No, I don't think anyone's interested in doing that. But there is the possibility Delaware Valley could come up and run plays. I would hope not, but it is possible. They still probably have the four-string quarterback to bring in, though, so it's get him some snaps.
All right, they'll take over at their own 20-yard line.
Who's this guy?
I got another quarterback out there. This time it's Julius Ward.
There he is.
So Julius Ward, the 6'2 junior out there this time. He'll hand it off to the left side. That's Woodard again. He's got room. He gets a first down and more flags are thrown after he picks up the first. Really?
Want to get away?
It's going to be a hold against Delaware Valley. I think at this point,
let me go look up that Ryder Cup score again, John.
Yeah, it's been a long afternoon, folks.
Very long afternoon. McIlroy and Peters are three up on Koepka and Johnson. Willett and Westwood are one up on Holmes and Moore through six. Mickelson and Kuchar are two up on Keimer and Garcia through five. And then Spieth and Reed are all square with Rose and Stenson in the final match.
First down again. We'll try handing it again to Woodward. Woodard will go to the right side. Clock at 42 seconds. And now, with the play clock not even started yet, 30-some seconds, they can just let this one tick down, please. We invite you to stick around. Post-game show.
Hey,
if
not going
to be a fun one to talk to Joe Beeler.
But if we'll you're still here at this point, you probably are sticking around anyways for some reason. We'll run all the stats in this one, and we will make it quick, folks.
So that's it. Delaware Valley knows they don't need to do anything now. They're just going to walk off. This game's going to end.
They've done enough.
48-0. 48-0. Delaware Valley over LVC. We'll come back with the post-game show in 3 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wickenbuckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wickenbuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
And welcome back here to Arnold Field, where the visitors come in and just run right over LVC today, 48-0. Not the performance that the home crowd was looking for, and obviously the coaching staff not looking for it either. Just nothing seeming to go on right today here for LVC as they take it on the chin to a very good Delaware Valley team by that final score, 48-0. First time LVC has been shut out in the game since 2006. So it's been 10 years since a shutout, and this was an emphatic one here today. We were worried about this coming in because it was a Del Valle team coming off of a loss a week ago to Albright, knew that they would be ready to go, and they really showed that here today. Team stats, LVC running for 167 yards, Aggies running for 307, LVC passing for 97, Delaware Valley throwing for 174. Total offense, Aggies outgained the Dutchmen 481 to 264 overall. Time of possession, LVC actually had the better of the time of possession in this game, having about 34 minutes of possession time. That matters very little in the grand scheme. They turned the ball over three times in the game, one of them directly returned for a touchdown. As we recap the scoring in this one and just taking a look at touchdown after touchdown, all started off in the first quarter. Deshaun Darden, 10-yard touchdown pass to Eric Shorter, followed by a 44-yard touchdown run by Devontae Ellis midway through the second quarter. They scored again on a Darden touchdown run of 2 yards with less than a minute left to go in the first half. It was 21-0 at that point. In the second half, the floodgates just opened. Cleveland, a 1-yard touchdown run. Cottle, a pick six that Sammy Moore returned 41 yards for a touchdown. Devontae Ellis, an 82-yard touchdown run. And then Viandolo, the backup quarterback, caps off the scoring with a 13-yard touchdown run. Individuals, LVC led today in rushing by Ryan Finks, 13 carries for 67 yards. Brennan Irving, 12 for 65. I think it's time to go down to John. Let's talk to Coach Beeler.
Coach, not too much you can say after a loss like this, I guess. You had some chances, drives, and then there was always something to stop it.
First of all, your voice, you sound like you're doing a funeral or something. Hey, we got our butts kicked today, no question, both sides of the ball. First half, we didn't make plays when we had a chance to, and they woodshedded us. But you know what? There's five more games to play. We're going to line back up next week. We're here at home. Homecoming game. This team is a good – I'll tell anybody, this is a good football team. I know, you know, we look at the scoreboard and you're sitting there in the stand and you're saying, oh, they're not very good. But I'm telling you right now, we have good football players. We have a lot of work to do again this week to get better. There are things that can be corrected. Offensively, we move the football again. We're just making mistakes at the wrong times. And defensively, we made a couple mistakes on the edge that caused some big plays that hurt us. But, hey – five more weeks, we're going to show up next week. We'll be here. You guys come. All right, we're going to come here to play Widener next week.
All right, you made the change from Peroni to Cottle. Will you stay with that now, or are you just going to keep back to practice, see who wants to win that job?
Yeah, we got to watch the tape. I mean, you know, no one came out so far and really said, hey, I'm the guy, and certainly not today. But we want to watch the tape and watch them both. Early on, I think was trying so desperately to make a big play that every throw he was going to throw it as far as he could and as long as he could. And there were a couple chances to make plays with his feet and he didn't make them. And then, you know, he missed some open receivers because he was so desperate to try to make a big play. I can tell you this about Tim Peroni. It's not because he doesn't care much. He cares so, so deeply about our football team, and he will do anything to help our team. He was one of the most positive guys on the sideline. He was right there with Tyler Cottle trying to help him. Tim Peroni's a class act, and he's a heck of a football player. We just got to get him back to playing the way he can play.
Not to take anything away from the athleticism of Delaware Valley, but the defense just giving up too much at times, and Ellis certainly took advantage of you guys.
It was the edge. We gave up the edge a little bit, and you just can't do that. You got to have a player that forces it back inside. I mean, you know, if it gets outside of the last defender, there's zero outside of you, and if you can force it back inside, you got 10 guys to help you, and it's we make this game complicated sometimes, but it still comes down to the elements of blocking and tackling and the basics of containing the football and offensively blocking your assignment, and we didn't do those things today.
And a big week coming up. It's homecoming, too, so that puts a lot into it.
Absolutely. Big week. And, you know, these guys will show up and they'll play. We have a good group of guys that work really hard. We haven't we don't have bad practices. I wish people could see us. I mean, the energy level and the way they go as hard as they can every day. As a coach, that's what you ask for. And we haven't played our best football yet, but we will. We will play our best. We'll play better.
Good luck next week.
Thank you.
Joe Beeler, back to you, Brian.
Thank you very much, John, and obviously Coach Beeler. Trying to find a positive spin on this thing. Just let people know that, you know, this team is still, the season is far from over at this point. And he's right about that. And we talked about the difficult start schedule-wise of the season and the fact that this conference is a very good conference this year. And this team that played today is a very good team. And when you don't play well against a team that is a very good team, you can see a score like we saw here today. And we did, 48-0 in favor of Delaware Valley. And next week, you know, I would say it doesn't get easier, but it really does. And the only reason it gets easier next week is because Widener is not Delaware Valley, and Widener has not been doing the sort of things that Delaware Valley has done to some of the other teams in the conference. Let's look at the rest of the stats in this one. We said Fink, 67 yards. Irving with 65 yards. Peroni had 5 carries for 22. Connell, 3 for 8. Lysak, 2 for 6. Robinson, 1 for 4. Salerno, 4 for minus 5. Receiving, passing the ball, I should say. Cottle, 7 for 15, 58 yards, 1 interception, was sacked one time. Peroni was 3 for 8, 27 yards in the pick. And Tyler Sterner, 1 for 3 for 12 yards in his time in the game. Gavel, 5 catches for 44 yards. Saylor, 2 for 26. Manning, 1 for 12. Cramp, 1 for 10. Clark, 1 for 8. And Fink, 1 for minus 3 yards overall. Couple of sacks today. Conlin, Donlin, both get a sack here for LVC in the game. And leading the team in tackles was Kyle Murray. He had 9 stops on the day. And also Dylan Lobach had a blocked extra point during the contest. For Delaware Valley, they were led by Devontae Ellis's 12 carries for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cleveland, 9 carries for 47 and a touch. Darden, 7 for 23 and a touch. Woodard, 5 for 19. Bing, 3 for 12. Dolo, 3 for 12 and a touch. Thomas, 2 for 11. And Law, 1 for minus 1 yard. Darden was 7 of 14, 160 yards and a touchdown, sacked 2 times. Dolo was 2 for 2 for 22 yards. Adams was 1 for 2 for minus 8 yards. Receiving the ball, Ellis, 2 catches for 54. Jensen, 2 for 42. Bing, 1 for 39. Shorter, 3 for 17 and a touchdown. Jones, 1 for 13. And Allen, 1 for 9. We're going to step out for one final break. Back in 2 minutes with a wrap of the MAC scoreboard and a preview of next week's game. 48-0, LVC loses to Delaware Valley. Back after this on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
All right, welcome back one final time here to Arnold Field, where most people have cleared out because of the weather and the score, as Delaware Valley wins today 48-0 over Lebanon Valley College. Let's look at the MAC scoreboard. You got a matching score, Stevenson and Misericordia. 48-0 romp for Stevenson today. They remain undefeated in the conference. Currently, they are the only unbeaten team along with Widener. We'll get to them in a second. 27-7, Albright remains in the MAC race with a victory. They are 3-1 now in the conference and a game back. FDU Florham gets the fifth touchdown of the game. Four passes and one run from quarterback Jagger Green. The last one coming with 3 seconds left to go. And Wilkes will go down in defeat to the Devils, 32-28, because of that touchdown with just 3 seconds left to go. And Lycoming has just tied up Widener at 14 with about 2 minutes left to go. Widener will be getting the football back. They turned the ball over with 2.5 minutes left to go, which led to the Lycoming tying touchdown, a Chase Whiteman 41-yard touchdown pass to Nick Costello. So Widener, we'll see if they're still unbeaten in the conference. They're not unbeaten overall, but they're 2-1 coming in, and that will be the next opponent for LVC. And that will be a game here on Homecoming next Saturday. We will have it for you here on all of the usual outlets. And make sure you join us for Homecoming weekend, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock. Make sure you check out GoDutchman.com for all of the things that are going on. Get the schedule of events and check out some things for Homecoming next week. For John Wilsbach, for our studio producers Gary Groover, and also Lydia Hirsch, John Hirsch, and Terrence Jefferson, this is Brian Kaiser saying good afternoon from Lebanon Valley College. Delaware Valley University defeats Lebanon Valley College 48-0. First shutout loss for LVC since 2006. This has been a presentation of the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
You've been listening to Lebanon Valley College Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network, 91.1 FM, 1510 AM, and the TuneIn app. Your home for the best in LVC sports is the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.